much about. So easy. You gotta put it in
perspective. What do you say? Should we dive in? Have some fun? Let's have some fun.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
As far as the area goes, we're surrounded City Hall. We're a little bit on this side. And there's more people on that side. Have you been mingling and intermixing and going around talking to people?
Occupy Wall Street, Occupy Wall Street, Occupy Wall Street. Nothing is gonna happen.
And how have you thought? What are your thoughts on how it has gone so far?
If blowing up the Twin Towers was such a radical move, well, maybe we need to do that again to get their attention.
That is too much. They didn't have to do all that.
Shut the beer mug. Shut the beer mug. Shut the beer mug. Shut the stop. Shut the beer mug. Shut the beer mug. Shut the beer mug. Shut the stop.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
What the hell is going on here?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Hello, ladies. How are you? Fantastic.
Roll another one.
Happy New Year.
Just like the other one.
I love it.
This one seems to be about to quit.
This seems like none of our business.
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
That is witty as all hell.
Roll.
Roll another one.
I can retract my penis up into itself.
Just like the other one.
Wow, I really like penis.
This one seems to be about sex.
Meat patties.
I'm a happily married man.
I don't have another cent.
You're boring me to death, and I am already dead. You're boring me back to death.
How do you think the Clippers are going to do in the NBA?
Just pass it around.
I got a bad feeling about this.
Now,
when your life looks at you funny, take the fast lane.
Our feature presentation.
That is actually excellent advice. Thank you very much for that, Tommy Lee. Welcome into an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We made it. It is Friday.
Yes.
How are you, Lisa?
Yes.
I am good. How are you, Bean?
I've been watching your Channel 4 news this morning.
Yeah.
And they are in full... Well, I mean, you have a earthquake and a tsunami and a hurricane and a tornado all coming today, right?
Pretty much. It started to sprinkle on my car, so God knows what's going to happen.
Oh my God, it's raining!
You're telling me, I want to make sure I understand this,
yes,
because this is potentially inflammatory. I don't want to cause a riot, but you're telling me that water is falling from the sky?
Yes, as I was walking out of my house, it started to fall right then, like it knew that...
what are people going to do?
Well, I don't know. I mean, if you haven't already gotten out...
Yeah.
You might as well just stay home. Get out.
Yeah. Why didn't people just evacuate ahead of the storm? That's what I want to know.
You
can't live through this.
A little by surprise, I got to be honest. I don't think the media was all over it like I would expect them to be.
It's been unbelievable. I mean, 23 minutes of the last 30 minutes has been shots of rain falling on suburban homes.
But do you understand that it's falling everywhere now?
I saw less coverage of Hurricane Irene than I have seen of this rainstorm over Los Angeles.
I'm sorry, Hurricane who?
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, it's crazy. So apparently it's raining, and that's a thing, I guess.
It is a thing, and like the roads are slippery, and people are going to spin out.
Let me take you to beautiful Lewiston, Idaho. I don't think the Kevin and Bean show is on there anymore, but here's a guy who's, shaking his ass.
All right.
At a club called Pub 33 in downtown Lewiston, around 12:30, 29-year-old Ryan Zinninger. Well, he is surprised moments later when a man walks up to him on the dance floor and bites off his nose.
Yay!
What?
What?
How? But who? What? He was taken to Central Maine Medical Center, where a doctor sewed his nose into place with 12 stitches, later released from the hospital. He may lose the tip of the nose, depending on how successfully it heals, the doctor says. Apparently, Tuesday nights are busy nights there at Pub 33. They have cheap drink specials, which I think tells you all you need to know about the gentleman, the gentleman who did the biting, right? And one witness said that Zinniger, the man who lost his nose, and the suspect had an altercation. The bartender said the attack seemed random, though, that Zinniger was bitten seconds after the man got to him on the dance floor. So, crazy. The bartender interviewed said, I've worked here for 6 years. I've never seen anything like that happen. You think?
So it wasn't a crazy bet? Like, I bet you could bite that guy's nose off, and the guy was drunk enough to take it?
Doesn't look like it. I mean, if it is, that has not been revealed yet, but police are still looking for the guy who did the biting. I wonder, you know, it's funny, in the comments on this news story in the Idaho Sun Journal, there are people who have had experience with, not them, but friends getting their nose bit.
Usually
by animals. You know, you lean down to pet a dog and a German Shepherd will, you know, bite your nose off.
Right, right.
Because they're surprised or whatever. I don't know if this is one of those phone topics where Kevin and Bean listeners can weigh in. I don't know that a lot of people have lost a part of their nose.
I don't think we're going to.
Every time I see a story like this, I wonder what our people's record is, you know?
Well, we could also take calls from people who have gutted and climbed into horses, I guess, while we're at it.
maybe it's time to revisit you lost a body part, though, because I always think that's fascinating when we talk to people who've lost fingers or toes or.
Oh, yeah. Well, if you're going to make it more general, then we'll definitely have calls.
But it's so crazy to think about this 29-year-old Ryan. You think he goes out to the club and he's just, you know, shaking that groove thing. And the last thing in the world you expect is that you're going to lose a body part on the dance floor at a nightclub.
That's just bizarre.
After the you know, the surgery and everything, he had to go home. He had to be sitting on his couch going, what just happened?
That night went wrong.
That is not what I was planning on. Anyway, good times. Let's look ahead toward today's all-new Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Boy, the only thing missing from this place is a couple dozen bodies limed and rotting in shallow graves under the floorboards.
Well, we'll try to get to that for you. Thank you very much. Beer Mug was on fire this week on the Hollywood red carpet for the Harold and Kumar Christmas movie.
Oh, I have not heard this.
I think it's some of the best work you've ever done, Muggs.
Thank you, Bean. I feel like a hard-hitting Hollywood reporter now.
You certainly don't spend much time crafting questions beforehand, which is what I like about you.
That is true.
Beer Mug, it's his style. That's part of his style and charm.
Absolutely. Yep. Beer Mug on the Fly is the only Beer Mug I'm interested in, that's for sure. Also, we're going to have an author on of a book that Ralph turned us on to by Daniel Seberg is his name. The book is called The Digital Diet. He is suggesting, and I think heresy charges are being brought. He is suggesting that we may be too addicted to our digital devices, that we may be spending too much time in front of screens and not enough time enjoying our real lives.
Says the man who tweeted a lot from France.
How dare you? We're going to talk to Mr. Seberg coming up next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll talk to the guy who says he's serious about organizing a class action lawsuit against Kim Kardashian and Chris Humphries for their sham of a wedding.
I love that.
Nice.
Yeah. Now, I don't know how that's possible because I don't see what the damage to the public was. But yeah. Then I'm no attorney. I'm sure he's got people who have advised him the answer to that question. I mean, the Kardashian wedding didn't affect me at all, except it was annoying because I heard about it a lot. But I mean, I certainly didn't watch it. So it's not like I, you know, have a claim for lost time for spending 4 hours watching it. And
yeah.
Then it broke up.
I don't think you can be on this lawsuit.
Maybe not, but you can, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I didn't watch it either, but I still feel injured.
We'll talk to Rob Delaney. The great Patton Oswalt is going to be in studio today, one of our all-time favorite guests. We love Patton so much. Ralph's got the movie because it's Friday. Cousin Sal will be here with the NFL picks for the weekend. Adam Carolla, This Week in Rage. Ralph Garman, speaking of Ralph, sort of in the middle of a little bit of a controversy, a character he did the voice for on last weekend's Family Guy has created a firestorm. Some people are saying it's the lowest point in Family Guy history. So way to go, Ralph.
Good job.
We'll talk about that coming up. Plus, the great actor Joshua Jackson.
Woo!
Of course, one of the stars of Fringe. That's on Fox tonight. He'll join us, too. Plus, we got the Showbiz Beat next, right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. Wacka, wacka, wacka. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock STP. Also, Sublime coming up, Mumford & Sons, and the band Coldplay, too. Hey, Ralph Garman.
Woo! Woo!
What's going on?
Happy Daylight Savings Time, everybody. It's coming
saving.
Up.
It's Woo! End of Daylight Saving Time.
Woo! Daylight Savings Happy Time right around the corner.
Saving.
Saturday night. Everybody get ready for Daylight Savings Time.
Sunday
so make
is
sure
when it
you
ends,
check
and then
it out.
It's Standard Time. We're get actually ready. Heading into Standard
Woo!
Time.
Daylight Come Savings on. Time coming up. Looking forward to it.
Why? But how do you hurt me like that? This is already the worst week of my life, and you're just adding insult to injury. You, I should be able to count on to get it right.
Worst week of your life. Why? Because Daylight Savings Time's coming up?
Because the end of Daylight Saving Time, and then people call it by the wrong name. Yes. Wow. And then I spent all my time furiously typing letters of complaint.
Wow.
I sent one off to the host of the Fox morning show in New York City today, who kept saying it wrong over and over and over again.
You got a lot of problems.
It's not that hard to say it right. It's just as easy to say it correctly as it is incorrectly. Right, Ralph Scarmans?
You should be put down. And then your wife should gut you and climb inside of you and take some pictures. That's what I think. That's what that should happen to you.
Beans asshole.
Yeah. And don't get me started on beans asshole instead of and. Don't get me started on that, Omar.
Wow.
All right, time for the show business beats.
Full time job being you,
Lindsay Lohan.
Yes.
Guilty.
Scheduled to turn herself in for her jail term next Wednesday is when she's going into the big house. She's going to spend 30 grueling days behind those cold iron bars. Oh, wait a minute. Sheriffs now are saying she actually will probably only spend a few hours in prison. It went from 30 days that she'll probably serve six. Now they're saying it'll probably be like a couple hours. And then she'll
Guys,
be out of jail.
I hate to give Kevin credit for this statement again, but how about building some more jails? Otherwise, jail terms don't mean anything in the state of California.
But here's the thing. In a situation where they're already strapped financially, where are they going to come up with the money to buy new, to build new jails?
Don't you think most people would rather they spend the money to build the jails than just not send anybody to jail ever, no matter what they do?
I think most people don't want to give up any more of their money for any reason ever.
Well, reallocate the money they already have then. I'm sure there's lots of dumb
stuff they're
spending money on.
Why don't you run for office and then straighten out the state government?
Yeah, that'd be a good choice
you say
for me.
Build more prisons. Like, okay, well, look at all this money we got sitting over here we're just not using. Let's just build some more prisons and hire some more guards and some more staff.
But there's been a problem for years and years and years and years. I'm saying, are we just accepting that nobody we sentence to jail anymore is going to go to jail? Is that okay, too?
You know, you want to make
Is everybody happy
you
with
wanna,
that?
You want to fix it? You want to make it easier? Get rid of all those BS drug laws. Where people
holding a
joint are spending time in prison.
I'm totally fine with that.
That's your first step.
Yeah.
Clear out problem. All the bogus drug busts that are taking up room in prisons for people who are actually criminals.
All right. You can be my drug czar then when I'm running things.
All right. Thanks. Good enough. Demi Lovato, speaking of drugs, said she faked her way through rehab when she went inside. She was suffering from emotional and physical issues late last year, checked into a clinic, and she said she just pretended to enjoy the experience just to get through. But she said after a while, the things they were teaching there started to actually sink in, and she said she's glad she went.
Oh, well, that's good.
So sometimes you got to fake it before you can make it. You know what I'm saying, peeps?
I hear you.
I hear you, too. You're right there next to me. Nadia Sulman, she's had her life changed by Dr. Drew on Life Changers. I guess that show is aptly named.
Well, our theory all along, by the way, and this never really came out except on this show, is that Drew is the father of those octuplets, remember?
Yeah, that's right. He is. So he feels some responsibility, I guess, to get her back on track. She said on his show last Wednesday that she's living paycheck to paycheck and that the house she's in currently has such plumbing problems she has to bathe her 14 kids in the kitchen sink off and all at the same time. No, I'm kidding. So Drew gave her a year of free cleaning service for her house.
Nice.
Free child care, and full tuition in a 6-month course so that she can become a certified personal trainer so that she can have a career.
That's a life changer living up to the show's name, I guess.
I guess so. And in response, Nadia has taken his offers to heart. She's going to be in the next celebrity boxing show.
Oh, no.
So she's got that going for her. She's fighting Amy Fisher.
Oh, are
really?
You serious?
Amy Fisher versus the Octomom.
Since Amy's doing porn anymore, she's got to do something else.
That's right. It's quite the lineup, the boxing match. It is Amy's current husband, who I guess got her into porn.
Right.
Against Joey Buttafuoco, her ex-boyfriend. They're boxing. Tariq Salahi, you remember him? His wife, Michaela left him for the guy from Journey.
Yeah.
Sure.
He is boxing Kato Kaelin.
Oh, my God. I mean, I guess if you're a Kato Kaelin, you sit around and once a year or two, your phone rings and somebody offers you $1,000 and you go do whatever it is they say.
Yeah, I guess you do.
Just sad.
Jose Canseco versus Lenny Dykstra in the baseball matchup. So I'm looking 1995 pay-per-view, people. Jeez. Book it now before they run out.
God.
Before they run out of pay-per-views. Yes, Lisa. Hell yeah. Wouldn't you pay for that?
No.
Oh, you don't understand anything.
I suspect Ralph will, by the way.
Hell yeah.
It's a party night.
Jessica Simpson just keeps getting better and better and better. Remember when she said she doesn't like to brush her teeth?
Yeah.
She said she doesn't brush her teeth because she can't stand the slippery feeling her teeth get when they're clean.
Great.
So she wipes her teeth on her sweater, she says.
She's a delight.
Well, this week she announced that she only washes her hair once a week. Because she thinks too much shampoo can strip the natural oils out of your hair.
Yeah, she's not alone, by the way. Yeah. There's a lot of women like
that.
Yeah,
you can smell them in the elevator.
Yeah.
Here at this station. Stinky bitches. She's going to have a baby, so this is going to save her a lot of time. She can spend all that time raising her child when she's not brushing her teeth or washing her hair. So it's all going to work out.
She just gets sexier and sexier, doesn't she?
She really does. And Kim Kardashian's already back in L.A.
What?
She's beat feet out of Australia as of yesterday. She headed back stateside, abandoning her publicity tour to publicize her new line of handbags.
Really?
Yeah. She left here because she couldn't take the heat from the publicity, went over there and found it was no better, I guess. She's backed out of a few obligations that she had to publicize her handbags. I think part of the problem may be that fashion critics are just piling on her handbag collection. Pretty much saying that it looks like knockoffs of a lot of other designers.
Ouch.
One fashion critic said, it became a fun game for us to look through the Kardashian collection and see who they were ripping off. They came up with at least eight different designers that apparently the handbag line knocks off. So maybe that's why she's not too happy. And she came back home to be with the people she loves. Mm-hmm. Oh, wait a minute. She divorced him. It was so funny. I listened to the audio of the radio interview they did when they landed over there. It was Kim and Chloe. And Chloe's like, listen, we're not here to talk about Kim's marriage. We're just here to talk about these handbags. We put so much hard work into these handbags. This has been a project of love for us for so many years, our handbags. I was like, well, you're not working in a sweatshop sewing them together. You're pointing at other handbags and saying, make one looks like that.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
God damn. Today's celebrity birthdays, P. Diddy, Sean Daddy, Piff Putty, Putty Daddy Combs. Celebrates his 42nd birthday today. Matthew McConaughey is also 42 years old. Jeff Probst, Survivor's host. He is 50. He's a good-looking 50 right there.
Yeah, he is.
Ralph Macchio, the Karate Kid. I'm sure he never gets tired of hearing that. He is 50 years old. Kathy Griffin, our friend, is 51. And Doris Roberts, who played the mom on Everybody Loves Raymond, she is 81 years old. 81.
She looks good for 81.
That's still almost old enough for Bean to bang.
I gave her a bell. I'm right there. I'm just waiting for 4 or 5 more years, man. She'll be aged to perfection.
Yeah, I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, thanks, Coldplay. It's the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. Wait until you hear Beer Mug's latest interviews, Ralph, on the red carpet at Harold and Kumar.
He is. He's like a young Mike Wallace.
Some of the best work he's ever done, and that's coming up. He talked to everybody involved in the movie, except for Dookie. All right, first, though, you're in the middle of a little bit of a controversy, Ralph.
Imagine my surprise.
It's Jeff, apparently the spinoff from the Family Guy that you were hoping for as a result of your appearance on last weekend's show is not going to be happening because groups all over America are up in arms protesting Fox for the episode.
The most offensive episode ever, according to some groups, which I kind of take a certain amount of pride in, actually.
Yeah, if you're going to go on Family Guy, go on Family Guy, right?
Right.
Here's a little bit of that headline news Showbiz Tonight program where they're talking about it, and they bring in an expert to discuss the damage, Ralph, that you personally have done to America.
Tonight, they showed what? The hit Fox show Family Guy pushing the domestic violence message to the very limit, putting a damper on all the laughs while really stunning viewers and sparking some major outrage today.
By the way, I love the writing on this show. I mean, they're the ones who are talking about it stunning viewers and putting a damper on the laughs. I mean, that's all coming from the people on this show. Right?
It's like they've created controversy so that they can report on that controversy.
Exactly.
With me tonight from Los Angeles, Dr. Wendy Walsh, new co-host of The Doctors. So, Wendy, I got to tell you, like so many other people, I was just shocked by what I saw on Family Guy last night. Now, keep it in mind, the show airs on Fox at 9 p.m. The show was trying to send a message about domestic violence, but I want you to watch with me this one scene in particular that jumped out. The character Jeff really letting his girlfriend Brenda have it. Watch this.
All right, here we go. Here's a clip with
Jeff
Ralph.
And I are happy to stay here with you for as long as you need.
Fine. Then you call my cousin Terry and tell him we're not going to be at his karate recital.
Well, Jeff, he is my brother.
Why do you always got to remind me I didn't finish high school?
Well, listen, how about I make us all some dinner, huh?
Come here. You fat, ugly bitch.
Wow.
All right.
Wow.
What's the context of your Jeff on The Family Guy in the realm of the whole episode, Ralph?
There's no really any context. Jeff is an abusive, ignorant douchebag who is in a relationship with Quagmire's sister, and she's in an abusive relationship, and that is the premise.
Okay, so are those that are complaining, those that are shocked, those that found the humor dampened, are they suggesting that there should be no portrayals of domestic violence on television?
Here's the thing. They keep saying, we understand they were trying to send a message about domestic violence. No. No one was sending any messages. Or it was just a comedy show, and it's a spoof of those Lifetime movies. The title of the episode is called The Story of Brenda Q. And it's Brenda Quagmire. It's Quagmire's sister. But, you know, they never say the last name in these movies because they protect the innocent or whatever. It was a spoof on those kind of films and the over-the-top drama of those kind of films. So my character is the most evil bastard on the world. The victim is the most helpless, clueless victim on the world. And then the comedy ensues about the Family Guy characters reacting around it.
Well, that sounds pretty consistent with what Family Guy does week after week. I mean, they're always satirizing something that's
going on,
right?
Look, this is a show that did a Barbershop Quartet song about the fact that you've got AIDS.
Right.
You know, they're not known for their sensitivity with social issues, which is one of the things I love about the show, is that it is very ballsy, pushing the envelope comedy.
Okay, but wouldn't it be fair comment, Ralph, to say that clearly on your show, Jeff's he wins because he goes on to riches and fame and fortune and nothing but good things happen to him, and he has a puppy and he lives in his place that's sunny year round. I mean, really, I think what it proved to me is that domestic violence is a good choice and the way to go, right?
Actually, Jeff's character, he ends up getting run over by a car and crushed up against a tree in the woods and murdered.
Oh, so he did get what was coming
Absolutely.
To him after all for his horrible behavior.
Yes, yes, he does.
Well, let's see what the doctor that they brought in, who, by the way, is not only a doctor, she's a TV doctor.
Yes,
so her
is.
Opinion carries far more weight. Let's see what she had to say about the episode.
Now, look, I know the Family Guy producers are always taking risks. I've always thought creator Seth MacFarlane was a brilliant, brilliant guy. But here's our showbiz flashpoint. Did they make a serious mistake? Wendy, what do you think?
Well,
by the way, that's my favorite part.
What is that?
That's the showbiz flashpoint. That's the point at which showbiz actually bursts into flames, Lisa.
Oh, my God.
It's a showbiz flashpoint, and listen to the sound effects.
Did they make a serious mistake? Wendy, what do you think?
All right, here we go.
Well, I think they're some of the greatest satirists out there, and they make good adult comedy, AJ, but this time they missed the mark. And
Uh-oh.
The reason why they missed the mark is they broke two crucial rules of comedy. First of all...
Okay. A TV doctor is now telling the Family Guy how to do comedy.
Listen, no one is funnier than Dr. Wendy Walsh. We all know that. She is an icon in the comedy world.
New co-host of The Doctors.
The Doctors. The funny, funny show, The Doctors. She knows comedy.
She's telling Seth MacFarlane, creator of The Family Guy, about the rules of comedy and how to make things funny,
yes.
right?
These are the rules.
I can't wait.
All comedy is tragedy viewed from across the street, but clearly the street wasn't wide enough here. And secondly, they made fun of the victim more than they made fun of the assailant.
Okay, tell me about that, Ralph. What's she trying to say here, if you can decipher the doctor?
Well, the street's not wide enough, first of all. You can see the kind of comedy that Wendy Walsh can give you on The Doctors every day. Check your local listings. And second of all, they didn't make fun of the victim more than the assailant, obviously. There's been no dumber, more ignorant, more despicable character on Family Guy than the character that I played, Jeff. He is unredeemable. There's no qualities about him that you like.
So there was no surprise whatsoever then that you're the guy who got the call to play that voice.
How dare you, sir?
Well, you did an excellent job.
Thank you, Lisa.
I think it's
a testament to my acting skills that I could be such a teddy bear of a human being and then be able to play a character so filled with rage.
Because we've never heard Ralph scream before. That's so right. That's why it was so shocking.
Such all right, whiplash.
More from the doctor in her comedy workshop here on CNN.
Yes, they did allude that he was uneducated and without a job, and in the end, they killed him. But the main theme of the show was about this poor, stupid woman who was too dumb to leave her relationship, her abusive relationship. And domestic violence is far more complicated than that.
Okay, well, that settles it then, I guess.
You did not explore the layers of domestic violence in your half-hour
turns out we didn't.
Cartoon.
And she's not stupid at all on the show. She is simply caught in that trap that a lot of women get into where they keep going back to a guy because they think he can fix him or he's going to get better or that there's really love there or whatever. And so she falls into that trap, but certainly no one ever depicted her as stupid. There are some funny jokes about her trying to explain away the abuse. But it never is indicated that she's stupid. She just wants to believe.
She's in denial.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. And by the way, not that I recommend anyone taking any kind of social cues from Family Guy, but if you were going to, it seems to me that the message is they're presenting it in such a way that it's obvious that she's clueless and doesn't see that she's had violence done against her. And if anything, people watching that would be like, wow, that's tragic and terrible that somebody would think that way, and it's clear what's going on here.
It's a comic magnification of what really happens in those situations. So, yeah, exactly. Maybe it gives somebody a heads up.
So Jeff is dead. He got run over by a car. He died an ugly, grisly death. How did the girlfriend do? How's she, or the wife? What's going on with her? Are we going to find out in a future episode what she does next?
No, she's fine. She unfortunately is with Jeff's child.
Oh.
But but she is told that Jeff has run away. And that he's never going to go back to her, and that she's going to have to live her life without him. They forge a note that from Jeff once they get back from murdering him in the woods, saying that he won't be returning. And please tell the cops that Peter, Joe, and Quagmire were with you last night. So they cover their bases, and she'll be better off because Jeff is now out of her life forever.
So I think it's a happy lesson for everybody, and everybody lives happily ever after, except for Jeff, and he deserved to die. That's, so I think everybody right. should just be pleased. Well, thank God the doctor got on with some comedy tips for Mr. McFarland, because now Family Guy is going to start being really, really good on
Sunday
nights.
We're going
right?
to make that street wider, that's for sure.
Beer mug here at the red car premiere of Harold and Kumar, a very Harold and Kumar 3D Christmas. Let's see what we can get.
Hey, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show here on the world famous K-Rock. You sounded drunk or stoned before you even began,
hey,
Beer mug. Before
come
the
on.
First interview, you sounded faded. What was going
that
on? What
was the. Not faded. That was nerves.
What? How nervous can you be by yourself talking? Listen, Ralph, thank you for coming in. Listen
oh,
to this.
We'll
listen
to
how Beer Mug, listen to how Beer Mug begins this one.
Beer Mug here at the red car premiere.
Red car premiere. I'm at the red car premiere.
Doesn't he sound like a guy who's just been to war for 4 years and he's making a battlefield proclamation?
It was the same thing at the Halloween Pet Parade. He's like, Beer Mug at the Halloween Pet Parade. How much dope do you smoke?
Only on the weekends. But look, I was nervous. I was by myself. I was interviewing celebrities.
You weren't interviewing celebrities by yourself. You were by yourself in the beginning.
Yeah.
By the way, speaking of interviewing celebrities, no bigger celebrity name in the Harold and Kumar Christmas movie than Amir Blumenfeld.
Oh, Amir. You landed Amir Blumenfeld?
Can you believe it?
Let's see what Beer Mug has to say. I guess he's one of the actors in the film. Let's see where Muggs takes this hard-hitting interview.
If there's anything you can tell the K-Rock listeners who are interested in getting into acting, what are some of the maybe secrets that you could... that you can divulge.
Okay. Why would you ask a guy we've never heard of to tell our listeners how to become an actor?
Because he's an actor. I mean, are you in Harold and Kumar? Am I? No, he is. He's an actor.
So you thought you'd say, if I want to be a star like Amir Blumenfeld, yep. are there any secrets that he can divulge?
Yep.
I see.
I don't know what Mr. Blumenfeld's answer was, but Beer Mug did follow up with a more precise question about his role in the film.
That's awesome. That's fantastic. And it's the third one in the installment. Anything we can expect from this movie, like wacky, like over the top?
Anything we can expect from this movie?
Third one in the installment, by the way. It's not a third installment in the franchise. It's the third one in the installment.
You know what I meant. You
it's
know
a movie
meant.
In a movie.
Anything we
can expect?
Expect
any comedy in this comedy? That's what he asked him, basically.
Anything over the top or wacky? All right. William Ross steps up to the microphone next with Beer Mug.
William Ross?
He apparently is the guy who did the music for the film, Ralph. And Muggs gives him one of the best introductions I think I've ever heard.
Ladies and gentlemen, when you think of composers, John Williams, Danny Elfman, Hans Zimmer come to mind. But I am standing here with the composer of Harold and Kumar.
I know all those guys and they're wonderful.
Okay, have you, first of all, where do I even begin with this? Have you forgotten his name? Because you certainly never say it.
Yeah.
And second of all, why do you bring a no-name music composer on and then hit him immediately with the giants of the industry? Look, why do you bring up John Williams and Hans Zimmer and all these guys who are legends?
When I think of the composers, I think of famous, talented guys. And then there's this guy.
Look, I think if you're a composer for any major studio motion picture, you deserve a little credit.
But you don't give him any credit. You give John Williams and Hans Zimmer and Danny Elfman credit. Yeah. You tout them and then throw it to this guy, completely unrelated.
And completely unannounced. You don't even say who he is. And God bless him, by the way, for trying to play along by saying, yeah, I even know those guys. Those guys are good guys. I mean, because you're basically just saying, hey, you're not in this league at all, but you're the guy I've got to talk to. How embarrassing for him, right? But at least when you did get around to introducing him, you did it beautifully.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ross Williams, the composer of A Very Harold and Kumar. William Ross, I'm sorry. Sorry, William.
Oh, man.
And by the way, you're going to notice a theme. That interview is one of them. Muggs never mics the people he's interviewing either. Have you noticed that you can't even hear the other dude,
well,
right?
Who cares what they have to say?
All right. I guess there's a plot point in the new movie, the Harold and Kumar movie. And we've seen it in the trailer a little bit where the boys get their wee-wees stuck on an icy pole, just like the classic Xmas story, Christmas story movie, right, Ralph?
Right, exactly, where the tongue is stuck on the pole.
Well, the little kid whose tongue was stuck on the pole in that classic movie was at the premiere the other night. How about that?
Scotty Schwartz?
Scotty Schwartz.
Scotty Schwartz was there. Wow. And Beer Mug interviewed the great Scotty Schwartz.
Scotty, how you doing?
I'm doing all right, man. How are you?
I'm fantastic. It was good. You just kind of walked up, and we started talking.
Oh, you got a friendly face.
Absolutely. And Scotty, you're in the movie.
Yeah. They used the clip from Christmas Story of the tongue on the pole, and as you see in the advertising, they've been using the two guys with something stuck to the pole, so there you go.
That is amazing.
That is amazing.
You came up and started talking to me, and here you are talking to me.
What?
You are retarded.
What?
You understand that's what happens at all of these red carpet premieres, right? That's what everybody expects is that you're there with a microphone. They're there to be interviewed for the premiere.
You know, everybody you talked to came up to you and started talking to you.
True.
That process was repeated over and over again.
But Scotty was the only one not pitched to me. He was just walking
through. Of course
through.
He wasn't pitched to you. He was in a movie 30 years ago and hasn't worked since. He's looking to talk to anybody he can.
Okay. Now, I have no idea what this question was supposed to be, but here's more with Scotty.
Now, what have you seen the movie?
Not yet. I will in about an hour.
Do you know what to expect? Or
hilarity?
Wow. And you start as a child actor.
He started as a child actor.
I didn't know where to go after that.
He was in a movie where he was, what, about five? How old was he in that film, Christmas Story?
Probably about 10, I guess.
Yeah. I don't know where to go after that. I didn't have any material.
Have you seen the movie? No. What do you expect? So you started as a child actor?
No, Muggs, I started as an adult, and then I went backwards and became a child actor in the 70s.
Good point.
Oh, you started as a child actor.
For other child actors trying to get up in the business, I mean, I'm too old now, but what advice do you have?
Why would you ask these questions?
What's happening right now? There's nothing wrong with saying goodbye, Muggs.
I know.
Nothing wrong with it.
I know.
All right. We are out of time for now. I know. It's so sad, but Muggs talks to the director of the film. He talks to the creators of the franchise. He talks to Danny Trejo, Machete himself.
We not playing those now?
Who's next?
What do we got next?
We're talking to the digital dialogue. Are you going to reschedule him and come back? Because I'd love to get these on.
Damn
I will
it.
Tell you that.
Maybe we got to push digital guy.
We may have to, because that's an evergreen. But
you're not going to make us wait like till Monday
or
something, are you?
We got to come back and play more interviews.
I'm telling you, You're not going to believe this based on what you've already heard, but it does get better. Those videos on the internet are correct. It gets better. All right. More with Beer Mug and the red carpet premiere of Harold and Kumar when we return on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about Beer Mug on the red carpet a couple of nights ago for the Harold and Kumar 3D Christmas movie. Here's a brief montage of what you've missed so far if you're just joining us.
Beer Mug here at the red carpet premiere. That's awesome. That's fantastic. And it's the third one in the installment. Anything we can expect from this movie, like wacky, like over the top? Ladies and gentlemen, when you think of composers, John Williams, Danny Elfman, Hans Zimmer come to mind. But I am standing here with the composer of Harold and Kumar. Now, what have you seen the movie?
Not yet. I will in about an hour.
Do you know what to expect? Or wow. And you started as a child actor.
Okay, so that's where we left off on Fear Bug with the red carpet.
That's all we have time for. That's good.
Oh, man.
Now we're starting to get into the heavy-duty celebrities involved with the Harold and Kumar film. Todd Strauss Schulzen is the director of the movie. Now, I think you're going to recognize Mug's tact from earlier when he was speaking with the composer.
When I think of directors.
Well, let's see, Ralph.
All right. I am here with the director of a very Harold and Kumar 3D Christmas, Mr. Todd Strauss Schulzen. How are you doing, sir?
Pretty good. Pretty intense.
Now, when I think of huge director...
How did this go this way, Mug? How did this happen?
Well, apparently I thought it worked with the composer.
It did.
But, yeah.
All right, let's see how Todd takes it.
Now, when I think of huge directors, Spielberg, who else? Who else comes to mind, Todd?
Are you just... You're asking Todd, who else comes to mind?
What other directors do you know, Todd? That aren't here standing next to me.
Is the point that you want to name everybody who didn't want to do the Harold and Kumar movie? Is that what you're trying to do here?
I don't know.
Huge directors?
Yeah.
I mean, Robert Zemeckis is a pretty big director. Paul Thomas Anderson is great.
J.J. Abrams?
Okay, now you're just going to make it a parlor game? You're just going to sit out there
all famous night? Directors.
It's a trivia game. How many directors can you name in 30 seconds? Go. Does he win a prize?
He's got to be thinking, what's happening right now?
Oh, man. Let's talk about all the directors that are standing next to me.
James Cameron is a very big-time director, big 3D director.
Now, Michael Bay?
Okay.
All right, we've named them all.
Is he just mocking you now?
That was fun.
And what do any of these have to do with Harold and Kumar? Okay, so Michael Bay. Now, Muggs, you know the way Muggs' mind works. It starts off blank, and then he just keeps talking until something catches, and he goes, oh, I can do something with that. And I think that's what's happened. I think the light bulb went off over his head when he thought of Michael Bay.
Michael Bay? Can we expect, speaking of Michael Bay, can we expect any huge explosions in a very Harold and Kumar 3D Christmas?
Well, they are known for that.
Seriously, Muggs? Hey, I just thought of Terrence Malick. Are there any shots of waves of grain in the sun in this Harold and Kumar movie? Because that's another director who does a completely different kind of movie?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I love that so much.
Oh, God.
All right. John Hurwitz and Hayden Schlossberg. I am unfamiliar with them, except for the fact that they are apparently the creators of Harold and Kumar back in the beginning. Let's see what Muggs has for them.
How are you guys doing today?
We're doing great.
Excellent.
Fantastic.
By the way, I want to again point out, barely miking the people that he's interviews. You hear Mug pretty well. You don't hear them very much at all, right?
Right.
How are you guys doing today?
We're doing great.
Excellent.
Fantastic. Let me ask you a question.
He is so out, by the way. He's so out. He's got nothing.
You take an Asian guy and an Indian guy, marijuana, hilarity then ensues.
That's not a question.
Is that a question?
It's not even a little bit of a question.
I have to ask you a question.
It's more of a statement, yeah.
What did you want them to say to that? What was your hope at the end of that?
I don't know.
Mother of pearl, this is unbelievable.
This is all in one 15-minute period. David Krumholtz is in the movie, Muggs? Who's he in Harold and Kumar? Do we have any idea?
Goldstein. He plays Harold and Kumar's buddies.
Okay, let's see what you got for him.
Well, listen, David. I loved you in Slums of Beverly Hills.
Okay, you can't really hear him.
Is he there?
Refuses
to be a satellite?
But he says, Mug says, I love you in that movie, and he says it was 14 years ago. Listen.
I loved you in Slums of Beverly Hills.
That was 14 years ago.
I know. And you know what? I'm going to go even further back. Adam's Family Values.
Yeah.
Do you like any of my recent work?
Haven't seen any of your recent work, David.
Okay. Why even do that to him?
Oh, yeah, man. That
was bad.
It's a gut shot to David Krumholz.
Yeah.
Who has starred on Numbers, by the way, on CBS. A very successful series for a couple seasons now.
He's a hit in primetime right now. Muggs doesn't know that. Yeah. All right. Here's the first legitimate, real interview of the whole night. An actual conversation where I felt that the guys understood one another. He's talking to the great Danny Trejo. Oh. He is Machete, of course, and is in all sorts of movies. He's always great. Muggs definitely has something to say to him.
You are a busy man, sir.
A busy man has time to do everything.
You're the man. Danny, you are the man. And I'll tell you, you seem like a sweet guy in real life. And let me ask.
I just spit up my iced tea, by the way. I literally have iced tea coming out of my nose right now. So you see Danny Trejo, and you're the man, you seem like a sweet man. And then, obviously, your mind is completely blank, right?
How can you tell?
You got nothing.
And let me ask you one last question, I'll let you go. How can I become... I'm Jewish. Could I become an honorary, tough, badass Mexican?
Okay, at least he's tried. At least he's got something, right? It's not good, but it's something.
The guy that put the tattoo on my chest, we did it in San Quentin, and his name was Harry Super Jew Ross.
Really? So I can be like a Jusikin.
Absolutely.
Danny, you're the man, dude.
All right,
Jusikin, Jumex, Jumex.
All right, we're near the end of the
Harold Kumar. No, I never want this to end. Go back and play Jumex. Go back and add the juice again. He goes, Jumex. Harry Super Jew Ross.
Really? So I can be like a juice again.
Absolutely.
Jumex. Danny, you're the man, dude.
Yeah, juice again. All right. Now we're talking to stars, ladies and gentlemen. John Cho, he is Harold in the film. Muggs, what do you have for John?
Let me ask you a question, John. I'm a stoner myself. Don't tell anybody. My bosses, Kevin and Bean, always seem to think I'm stoned. Now, you're a businessman in real life and in, you know, art.
I feel like you're doing an essay question, like a train leaves Chicago at 6 and it's going 300 miles an hour. I mean, you're just making up stuff. All right, you're a businessman.
One thing is for sure. If Muggs is going to ask you a question, I guarantee you no question will be following.
There's
a question. I'm a stoner, and I have bosses, and you're a businessman in art. None of those are questions.
And I'm a Jew. And how can I be a Jew second?
Yeah. What do I do to tell them that I'm not stoned at work? How do I prove that to them?
That's an impossible question to answer.
Again, what did you want the man to say? What were you hoping for?
How can I tell them I'm not stoned?
Cal Penn is Kumar with Beer Mug on the red carpet.
Now, I heard you talking to KCAL 9. Not to make this all serious, but they made it to give light, you know, to show.
What?
No, we didn't hear him talking to KCAL 9, so we have no idea what you're talking about here.
Not to make this all serious, but they made it to give light, you know, to show everybody that you guys are normal dudes. And I think I'm about to shed a tear because I think that's very, very touching. And
what?
I want to say I'm a big fan.
What?
I don't know. Channel 9 showed that you were normal dudes, and I'm so touched, and I'm a big fan.
I give up. I want to shed a tear over that other interview you just did. That was better than this one. That I was listening to.
Ladies and gentlemen, Beer Mug on the red carpet.
Oh, thank you. All in all, I think I made one mistake, but I think it went well. Beer Mug out.
Beer Mug out indeed. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here on the world famous K-Rock for a Friday. Ralph Garman now joins us with a look at the show biz beat.
I don't know if I can go on. I'm weak.
It was too much. Oh,
it was
too much.
It was too wonderful. Woo! All right, let's talk about show biz news. Muggs was on the red carpet of a very Harold and Kumar 3D Christmas. Well, the good news is, on November the 24th on ABC, we'll be watching a very Gaga Thanksgiving.
Yay!
Lady Gaga's getting her own holiday TV special. You just don't see enough Thanksgiving specials.
You don't see any, really.
No, you really don't.
But isn't that a huge night for television? I mean, a lot of people are watching football, of course, yeah. But it's a big night. A lot of people are at home looking for something to watch, right?
Yeah, nothing better than a belly full of turkey and stuffing to just unbutton your pants, lay back on the couch, and watch Lady Gaga.
I don't know.
She'll be chatting with Katie Couric. They are going back to her alma mater, Sacred Heart Catholic School in New York City. She'll be performing 8 songs, including her duet with Tony Bennett. And she'll be cooking up fried turkey and waffles with celebrity chef Art Smith. This sounds like a joke.
But apparently
it's actually going to happen.
Sounds like an SNL sketch.
Yeah. He's going to be the head chef at the restaurant that Gaga's father is opening very soon in Manhattan, apparently. So there's the tie-in. I hope Gaga wears a giant turkey dress. That's all I can ask for this special. But very Gaga Thanksgiving. Make sure you circle your calendars. The question that we're all asking when this woman, Mariah Yeater, came forward and said she had sex with Justin Bieber after one of his concerts in October of 2010 and that she got pregnant with his baby, was, he was 16 at the time.
Yeah.
Isn't that statutory rape?
Yeah.
Well, yesterday, the Los Angeles police commissioner said if she's telling the truth and she was 19 at the time and he was 16, that there very well may have been statutory rape involved, and an investigation and possible arrest apparently are in the works.
Wow.
I did not know this, but California state law says that if you have sex with a minor and you are 3 years older or less, it's just a misdemeanor. Did you know that?
Nope.
I think I remember something about that from a few years ago, because the problem was there's the people who are 50 and having sex with a 14-year-old were getting the same sentence as the 16-year-olds who were having sex with their 14-year-old girlfriends.
Right.
So I think they did make that distinction.
Yeah. So she would be 19 to his 16, so that would be just 3 years. If you're 3 years or younger, it's a misdemeanor. 3 years older than the person you're having sex with, it is a harsher crime, but you could still get a jail sentence of 1 year if that's the case.
So. But if she's trading that for 18 years of child support, probably worth it.
Yeah, for 18 probably years of Bieber money, I guess you're willing to do a little time in jail, right? That's disturbing. Sad news, GWAR guitarist Flatus Maximus is dead. His real name was Corey Smoot, and he was found by his bandmates yesterday as they were about to cross over into Canada for a few concert dates. He was just 34 years old. No cause of death has been released. But I'm guessing it wasn't the gout.
Yeah,
those guys live pretty hard. Yeah. A lot of our listeners may not be familiar with GWAR. I anticipated you might do this story, Ralph, so I hope you don't mind. I brought in a little GWAR for people if they want to hear what the music sounded like of the band that this guy was in for
sure,
so long.
Sure.
My vagina ain't handicapped. Vagina ain't handicapped. So what, I can't walk. My vagina ain't handicapped.
So I don't think any more of that, unfortunately.
I do not believe. No.
Really? I thought that was...
Another day, another comic book turned movie. Sony Pictures has hired writers to develop Popeye the Sailor Man.
Oh, dear God.
Of course, famously, there was a Popeye movie directed by legendary director Robert Altman. When I think of directors, I think of Steven Spielberg, James Cameron, J.J. Abrams, Robert
Michael
Altman.
Bay.
Robert Altman. Yeah. Starring Robin Williams. It was one of the most famous flops in movie history.
Yes.
Now they're making a new Popeye movie, this time in 3D.
Do kids even know who Popeye is anymore?
Nope.
It's not on. It's not a cartoon anymore or anything
not,
like that,
not
right?
That
people
I know
read the
of.
Comic strip?
Nope. Yeah. Not that I know of. I don't think anyone knows who Popeye is. But look, any character that has any sort of history now is getting its own film. So.
And how have you thought, what are your thoughts on how it has gone so far?
What are my thoughts? Ricky Gervais is going to be hosting the Golden Globe Awards again.
Yay.
Really?
Yeah.
Surprising.
I am surprised as well. Given the flack that he caught after that, I'm surprised he even wants to do it. But the Hollywood Foreign Press Association has asked him to come back and host again over there on NBC. So we're getting to see more Ricky taking the stuffing out of more celebrities, which I'm all for. I thought it was
That's
pretty
fantastic.
Great.
And I love that when he was doing it last time, he said, I can say whatever I want. I'm not coming back.
Yeah. And he is. And he's also claiming that none of the celebrities that he poked fun at were nearly as upset as the press made it out to believe. They were making up stories about how incensed some of them were. In fact, one of the guys who was his biggest target, Johnny Depp, I don't know if you've seen the trailer or not, but he does the first episode of Ricky's new series, Life's Too Short.
I didn't know Ricky had a new series.
He's got a new series coming on. I believe it'll be on HBO. And it co-stars Warwick Davis, who is the little person actor who was in Willow. He was one of the Ewoks. Yeah. He plays apparently an agent for other little people actors. And Ricky is writing and producing the show. And there's a scene in the, if you've seen it online, they've just released it on the trailer, where Johnny Depp and Ricky Gervais are sitting across a table for each other negotiating a new deal. And Depp plays a very funny version of himself talking about how much more money his movies make than Ricky's and how he'll never forgive him for what happened to the Golden Globes.
That sounds awesome. Great.
And he finishes off by saying, "No one makes fun of Tim Allen on my watch," Johnny Depp says to him. So it's very, very funny. And Johnny apparently had a good sense of humor because the tourist got roughed up that night, if you remember correctly.
That's right.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Sean P. Diddy Puff Daddy Dua Diddy Combs is 42 years old today. Matthew McConaughey, my old co-star from Two for the Money. I wish Matt would quit calling me every weekend. He wants to go out for dinner, hang out, play hoops. I'm like, Matt,
well,
please.
Well, for a while there, he was really bugging you for fitness tips. Remember? He
didn't want
your gym regimen.
Oh, work out with me. Can I see how you do it? I want to learn your techniques. I was like, just pick up a book. Read a blog, Matthew. That's what I told him. He's 42 years old today. Jeff Probst, Survivor host. I know you guys aren't watching, but I'm watching again this season. Great season of Survivor. Man, that show just is good. It's just well done. 50 years old today. Ralph Macchio is also 50. Kathy Griffin's 51. And Doris Roberts from Everybody Loves Raymond is 81 years old today. And Ralph Garman, I walk the showbiz.
Deny my dear.
Thank you, Mumford. It's the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. Assuming a small portion of the population survives the storm in Southern California today, Lisa. Yeah. Assuming that the rain doesn't kill most of us, what hope do we have to look forward to the weekend? What can we do tomorrow that will make us put this bad storm behind us?
If you don't get swept away today, then tomorrow you should head out to the Santa Anita Food Truck Festival at Santa Anita Racetrack.
Woo!
And it is tomorrow. 70 gourmet food trucks will be there. We're going to have gastropubs with 30 flavors of craft beers. It's in the infield. We're going to have live music and also DJ Omar Khan.
DJ Omar Khan.
Me and Lightning, who I'm sure will scream at you on the bullhorn right there. It's worth a $5 price of admission. Can't beat $5. It's going to be a lot of fun. Of course, they're going to have the horse races as well, so you can bet on the horses and then just stuff your face, which is what I'm going to do. And I'll be there from 12 to 2.
I'm out of interest
gates
now.
Gates open at 10.
You lost me 15 seconds ago.
All right, sorry.
Patton Oswalt will join us coming up next year on the Kevin Meade Show. Ralph, what's going on with your buddy Rob Delaney?
Rob Delaney is not only a hilarious comedian, but he is now a social activist. He is starting a lawsuit that I wholeheartedly believe in, and I just wanted to have him on the show to see if somehow I can get a piece of the action. Because if it's a class action lawsuit, I want to be there with Rob.
All right, Rob, welcome to the Kevin Meade Show, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
What can we do for you? What class action lawsuit can we participate in and get big, big money? What are we suing? Who are we suing? Why?
Okay, well, first we're suing Kim Kardashian.
Nice.
Oh, I like it.
We're going to sue Ryan Seacrest as well because he produces all those shows.
Beautiful.
After him is E! Entertainment Television.
Good.
For broadcasting
solid.
The whole shenanigans. And then Comcast because they own the whole kit and caboodle. So we're suing a lot of people. And initially, I thought I was just doing it myself, but I really, within hours of putting it out there, thousands of people around the globe let me know that they would like it to be a class action lawsuit. So a lot of people really want to participate. So you're joining a strong army.
So you're a modern-day Aaron Brockovich is what you're doing here, right?
I think that's a fair statement to make, yeah.
Okay. Now, the obvious question that some will ask is, what damage has been done to you or, in fact, us by the Kardashian marriage not lasting?
Right. Well, here's the deal. I don't watch the show, okay? But
right.
I know about the whole thing because on my drive to and from work every day, gigantic billboards. When I go to buy food for my family at the supermarket, their magazines are blocking the way to the checkout line. And so I was aware of it, even though I don't even watch the show. So, I mean, it's just like a poison cloud, you know, polluting the American consciousness. And I know, you know, people are sick of it. And so I just wanted to say, you know, plus, if you're going to get married like that, you can stay married for a few minutes, you know?
Yes.
They spent, you know, untold millions advertising it. They split the wedding over two episodes. So if you're going to do it that way, then you got to stay together. If they had just eloped, then no problem. You can get divorced after 72 days. But after this, you're going to stay married or I'm going to sue you.
It was a massive fraud that was perpetrated against the American people.
yeah, I mean, you know, advertisers were defrauded. I mean, they're acting like it's a real thing, you know, and they were paid $18 million, I'm told, for these episodes. So that cannot stand.
So when you see Kim in the post-split interviews, like the ones she was doing in Australia this weekend, saying, no, you guys have it all wrong, I married for love, you think right. She's just continuing the fraud, basically. She's just adding insult to injury at this point.
Yeah, I mean, there's two possibilities. It's a fraud, or she has drank so much of her own Kool-Aid that she's just gone insane. So, like, they renewed their vows on Ellen.
They did?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
And then on day 7, and then 72. So what happened in those 12 days? I mean, I'm married, okay? And, you know, and if you're married, you know that you'll go 12 days without speaking to each other frequently in a good
marriage. Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, I love my wife, but an ingredient... which is about occasionally researching ways to kill each other and not get caught on the internet. You know?
Exactly.
But who has wonderful. It? Who has it done
but
that?
But you stay married, Rob. That's the point. You stay married.
Exactly.
Yes.
Okay, Rob, the beautiful thing about America is that you can sue anybody for anything, but you have to – I mean, there is some standard that has to be passed in order for it to – you know, a lawsuit to be filed and accepted by the court or whatever. I mean, do you have attorneys working on this, or are you just funny man Rob Delaney spouting off at this point?
No, it's a genuine lawsuit. I mean, yes, I am a comedian, so I hope that there's an element of this that makes people laugh, but it is a legitimate lawsuit, and my standing is the fact that I'm told by the numerous attorneys who are helping me pro bono, that if we can acquire or procure a document where it says that it's not a real thing, which really might exist in the contract / waiver / non-disclosure agreement / prenup that they made every time,
right.
If we can get a hold of that, then in fact it may be able to actually progress.
You know, I said this on the air. We've been talking about this like every other media outlet over the course of the last couple of weeks. And I said this on the air to Ralph yesterday, Robin. Tell me if this makes sense to you. I felt like Kim and her husband, Chris, were actors in a movie that got together to film a television movie. And then at the end of the movie, after it aired, they said, okay, see you next time. I mean, it was almost like the marriage thing was just, hey, this is something that we have to do, like we got married on TV, but it's not real. Didn't it seem like that to you?
Oh, it really did. It's funny because when they got married, I mean, I'm sure you guys as well thought, oh, this won't last, you know, but we didn't think it would last shorter than a cricket in your backyard. You know, I mean, we thought that we'd like, oh, yeah, okay, maybe 9 months, you know, maybe 11 months, you know, but 72 hours, that's just insulting. So we have to, she doesn't hold herself to any standards, Kim Kardashian and Ryan Seacrest won't, so we have to do it for them. We have to be their conscience.
Let her tell her lies on the stand with her hand on the Bible.
Oh, there you go. There you go. All right. Rob Delaney joining us here on the Kevin Bean Show. You can follow him on Twitter, by the way, at his name, which is at Rob Delaney. The website is robdelaney.com. Any parting thoughts for our listeners of what they should do if they want to participate and help you out here, Rob?
I mean, the most powerful thing that you can do is just turn their television show off. You know, I mean, if one 12-year-old girl in Minnesota hears about this and says, oh, you know what, Kim Kardashian might not be a good role model and throws her TV set out the window and it lands on her Death Buick, then I'll be happy.
You're doing the Lord's work, Rob.
Look, we saw the sex tape. That's all we need out of Kim Kardashian. She's not required to do anything else, right?
I'm of the same opinion.
Yes.
Exactly. All right, Rob, thanks so much for coming on the Kevin Bean Show, man. We enjoyed it.
Thanks, gentlemen.
It's the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ with lots of reasons every day for you to visit us online at kevinamine.com or krock.com. By the way, thousands of views and comments on the woman who got naked and curled up inside her dead horse yesterday.
That's a euphemism, right?
No, unfortunately, it's not a euphemism. There's nothing sexy about that. You also want to definitely head over to krock.com and get all the details about the 30th anniversary Golden Voice concert promoter concerts that are coming up, that unbelievable three-night lineup of the greatest punk bands in Southern California history, and get all the information at krock.com.
We also remind people this weekend it is daylight savings time, so make sure that you set set your clocks back 1 hour for daylight savings time. Saturday night is when it all starts, and I don't want anybody... Forgetting what time it is on Sunday.
It's the end of daylight saving, not savings time, and the beginning of standard time, and it's Sunday is when the clocks change. It's Sunday at 2 a.m. Now, listen.
I'm not going to get up at Sunday and do it.
You don't have to. It doesn't matter.
Everybody does it on Saturday night, Lisa. You're absolutely correct.
I don't. I do it on Sunday morning. But
then your time is wrong when you wake up.
Yeah.
So you spend the better the early part of Sunday morning with your time being wrong on your clocks.
Your time is wrong when you go to bed on Saturday night.
No, but I'm not looking
I'm
at
asleep.
It. I'm sleeping. What difference does it make? You're up and looking at a clock that's wrong. When I wake up on Sunday, boom, my clocks are right.
Hear my whole thing. I'm not autistic and I don't have Asperger's, but
you
I am a little bit obsessed with time and a little bit obsessed with time changes. And by the way, I celebrated the return to standard time in France last weekend. They're a week ahead of the United States. Oh. So I've already had one time change.
Did
now
you
I have
celebrate
another
it?
One.
Did yeah. you celebrate
did
it?
You
hells yeah!
Did you pop some champagne?
Hells yeah!
Did you crawl inside your horse?
Let me tell you what happened. Let me tell you what happened to the supermarket when I was there a couple of days ago. And this is... I'll admit, I'm a little bit on my period this week every year because of the time change, because I'm so infuriated by the people who use daylight savings time.
What
instead
possible
of saving.
Difference could it make?
Because it's just as easy to say it right as it is to say it wrong. That's why.
It's the same thing.
I wrote a strongly worded letter.
I have a saving account or do I have a savings account? They both mean putting money in the bank.
I wrote a strongly worded letter to the superintendent of the Los Angeles County School District yesterday for using it incorrectly. If he can't get it right, what hope do the kids under him have? But that's neither here nor there. So I'm at the supermarket, and I'm already a little bit cranky about the time change because this is my thing. This is my favorite holiday of the whole year, as you know. So I'm standing in line, and you know what it's like, Ralph. I don't know. Maybe you don't even – I don't even know how it works with you in your supermarket. But you make chit-chat with the checker as she's, checking out your items.
Oh, that poor woman.
And she says, hey, how's it going? I said, fine. I make the traditional easy way to go, which is a comment about the weather. I said, yeah, the weather's kind of changed, turned a little cold the last few days, right? Just regular chit-chat conversation. She says, yeah, it's getting dark early, too. And I said, well, the good news is time change is Sunday, so we'll get that, get an hour back. And she says, and she looks at me, and I was so infuriated. She says, I hate to tell you this, but the time change is Saturday. I looked at her, and I says, I hate to tell you this, but the time change is Sunday. And she says, I'm going to go on the internet. And now it's escalated, by the way. Jesus. Now she's not even scanning groceries at this point. She's standing there. She's looking at me like a bear in the woods. And she says, I'm going to go home and I'm going to look this up on the internet.
And she didn't say the internet?
No, she didn't, Lisa. And by the way, that's a powerful threat right there. And I says, I'm not worried. And she says, I'm not worried either.
Oh, man.
So now it's on, right?
Only you get a fight about this at a supermarket.
Well, she's slathering wrong information at me. What am I supposed to do? I hate to tell you this, but the time change is Saturday. What am I supposed to do? Just
let
that lie?
You recognize that everyone changes their clocks on Saturday night before they go to bed, so you understand what she's meaning. That's what you do. And you don't say anything. You get your groceries and go the F home.
You could change your clock today. It wouldn't mean the time change is today. You could change your clock yesterday. Doesn't mean the time change was yesterday. It's still Sunday. That's when the time changes. That's when you get the hour back. Even if you change your clocks on Saturday night, that doesn't help you get your hour back. That doesn't happen until late in the afternoon on Sunday when it makes a difference with the sun.
Okay.
Oh, man. It doesn't, by the way, it doesn't make a difference with the sun. You know why? Because we're not farmers. And we don't look at the sundial for our time. We all have electric lights now. We all have motor cars. We all go about our business. And what the sun is doing at any given time of the day means nothing to any of us.
So now she's just glaring at me. Now there's no business being transacted. She's just got a stare on me, and she just is, she's as seething as I am at this point. And I says to her, I says, don't make me go to my car and get my copy of the Uniform Time Act of 1966, because I'll do it. And I think that pretty much shut her down. I think I won with that. I don't think she can come back from a guy who's actually got paperwork on it. So I felt pretty good about myself at that point.
Oh, I hope she poisons you the next time you go to that supermarket.
My God.
You're a relentless douchebag.
I believe in accuracy. That's all. I just believe in things being
right.
At what cost?
You know that people do it Saturday night before they go to bed. You know
I don't
that.
Care when they change
you
their clocks.
Know
by the
that,
way,
though.
I'm
so
not
when
the
you're talking to her, just acknowledge that you understand that that's what people do. You can't even do that.
She wasn't saying, oh, I changed my clocks on Saturday night. She was saying the time change
because
happens
the time
Saturday.
Change for her is when doesn't. Her clocks change. That's what happens.
I hope she dies.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
I hope when the clock strikes two the second time, she dies. That's what I hope's happened to her. And I hope you do, too, for that matter. matter. While we're on the topic,
the whole daylight savings time in the first thing should be eliminated. Should just be removed. There's no reason for it anymore. We're not in the fields. We're not pulling crops out. We don't need the extra hour of daylight. We're all living our lives now. It's a stupid, stupid thing that should be eliminated anyway.
But don't you kind of enjoy in the summertime when it's light until 8:30 at night?
Doesn't matter.
You have to get it before.
I got a life to lead. I got all kinds of things going on. Where the sun is, I'm not out chasing lightning bugs on summer nights, okay? I'm getting stuff done. I'm doing things. And I got to get up, and it's dark whenever I get up, so it doesn't matter.
All right.
Stupid.
Final word, and that is, I'm just saying. Guys, I'm just saying, all right?
Oh, I wish you a fiery card, Beth. The
world famous K-Rock 106.7 KRQ. Somebody get President Obama on the phone. We've got to get whatever that Congressional Medal of Honor is they give to citizens for extraordinary acts of courage. Because, ladies and gentlemen, Patton Oswalt just made it in here from his home in that weather that's outside right now. He's here.
Folks, I don't want to, you know, this is a fun show. We're going to have a good time here. But, you know, what I went through to get here, there are droplets of water on my windshield. And I don't know if
you
guys...
And that's not a euphemism. That's actual water.
Actual... Ralph, please. I'm just trying to... Let me just say what I need to say. Because
I'm sorry, Patton.
If you... I don't know if anyone has seen the movie The Road. What is going on right now outside in Los Angeles makes The Road look like The Wedding Planner. In that it's not as bad as The Road at all. Are you kidding me? Okay. Come on. It is so... It's raining. There's water coming out. I got it. Okay, right. People. It's
pretty serious stuff, though, man. Yeah, I watched the news today, and there are a lot of shots of rain falling on intersections in suburbia.
A lot of man-on-the-street interviews.
There were... I grew up in Virginia. We had these summertime lightning storms. And the lightning would go down the street just raping people.
Wow, that's bad.
Randomly, and they would mention that at the end of the news. They'd go, by the way, the raping lightning's out there. It's been a some of those soccer games early. Okay, bye. See you tomorrow night. Have fun.
It wasn't the lead story?
No.
Yeah.
Nobody cares.
Weather is usually isn't news.
Yeah, except in Los Angeles.
Yes.
Yeah.
Someone saw a large bird coming up next.
What?
Go ahead. Let me tell you why I'm amazed to see Patton Oswalt. Not just because of the extraordinary difficulty of getting here today in these horrendous conditions that aren't, frankly, fit for man or beast. Is that I think you've never been busier in your entire career. You are on every TV show, in every movie, on every blog, on every podcast, editing every magazine. How many Patton Oswalts are there right now?
There's one very tired, flabby Patton Oswalt. That is
people are calling it Oswald Mania. That's the term the media is using right now. It's like the Beatles landing in 64.
That is what people are saying. People are saying that term. Especially my agents and PR people. It's kind of contrary in that demographic. They are using that a lot.
But you are like a movie star now. You're a movie star. You used to be a comedian.
I don't know if I'm a movie star.
You used to show
star.
Up on time when you were a comedian. And now you're a movie star, and now you roll in whenever you like. But you're a movie star, and that's fun to see.
It is fun. Well, I mean, you're a budding movie star, too.
Yeah, but you're the real deal. You have lines and everything.
Well.
And I knew about the Harold and Kumar movie. I knew you were in that. And then I'm watching, I think I went to see Rum Diary the other night, and they show me a little trailer for a movie called Young Adult, which features the love of my life, Charlize Theron. And I'm watching that. I said, I can't wait to see this. And then who's up on that screen with the love of my life, but the other love of my life, Patton Oswalt? You are in that movie with her as well.
Yes, I am. I cannot, especially the way that you and I talk about movies, I really can't wait for you to see that just to see what Charlize does in that movie. Oh. It is the darkest. She's brilliant, but she's so relentlessly awful and mean and does not blink. She does not blink. You cannot... we just did a screening last night, invite one at the ArcLight, and people were like, the Q&A afterward was literally people just saying, was there a time that you told Jason that maybe you should do one nice thing? because you really just sort of go to this. And Charlize was so defiant. She's like, I really like her. I liked her. Like, I don't want to spoil anything. I want you to see the movie, and then we should talk.
Okay. Is this Jason Reitman, the director? Is that who
Jason Reitman directed it. Diablo Cody wrote it.
Wow.
It's
what a pedigree.
Yeah, but Charlize you know, he was basically, I can't really say this word, but I was on set when Jason said, I need you to be a lot more C-word.
Ah, gotcha.
With a Y at the end. And then right. Charlize said, I can do that. I don't think you want it. And then he goes, no, let's see. And wow. And she really goes for it.
Well, she is a fearless actress. If you saw, you know, Monster, if you saw her Eileen Wuornos performance, yeah. you know that she's willing to go there.
But here's the thing, though. When she did Monster, she gained that weight. She put on that makeup. It was, I'm losing myself in a character.
Yes.
I actually think what she does in Young Adult is far more scary for an actress because she looks like herself.
That's
in other words, she's not high. She didn't go, well, if I'm going to play this character, I better have darken my hair or do something.
She's pretty.
Not only did she looks even more like Charlize than like she is radiant.
Yeah,
and she's being the most horrible person you've ever seen.
Wow.
Yeah,
Patton. Who did they want for the role you ended up getting? You know?
Oh, come on, Bean.
I mean, did they even tell you that or no? They just they make you believe you were the first choice.
Paul Giamatti got hit by a truck.
Okay.
2 days before filming, and I have no idea. I was doing the early table reads. I said last night. I got that movie the way a squatter gets an apartment. I was just there so often doing the reads. It went, well, he's already here.
It's easier than moving him.
Yeah, he's not hurting anybody. He's got a little hot plate. The kids like him. Leave him there.
He's already got a parking space. It's a lot of hassle to reissue that permit. Is there going to come a time, and I'm sure you think about this, especially with a young family at home as well, you must think about this. You can't continue to do it all. Is there going to come a time where you're like, I mean, are you off the road now, for instance? Are you having to not do stand-up because of all this stuff? Or
here's actually what's kind of ironic, and Ralph can tell you this, is if I just did stand-up now, I would actually see my family all the time because you just go out Friday, Saturday, and then I come home.
Right.
If you do movies, the last place they shoot movies is Los Angeles. They shoot them any place but L.A.
Well, it's because of the rain.
Because
can't work in this weather.
Slows up production.
I mean, nothing shows up on film. It's so dark. So yeah, like if you really get heavily into movies, and I've talked to other actor friends about, you know, that guy, he's an actor named Chi McBride.
Sure,
yeah,
of course. Yeah,
I was talking with him, and he said, "I got offered this series up in Vancouver, and I just couldn't take it, and I need the work, but it's like I just want to be with my family right now." And he's holding out for something that will happen in Los Angeles.
Well,
like,
good luck.
I know, it just nothing happens here anymore.
Where'd you shoot Harold and Kumar?
That was outside of Detroit.
Beautiful. Mm.
In a weirdly gorgeous shopping mall, it was one of those places that now, I don't know if you realize this now, all shopping malls are not shopping malls anymore.
I didn't know.
It's the Oak Ridge Collection.
Oh, the Collection.
They call the mall a collection. As if it's hard to get a store space. And malls will open, then you walk in and it's Wetzel's Pretzels and Wet Seal. So your collection includes Wetzel's Pretzels and Wet Seal.
Those aren't stores. Those are boutiques, Pat.
Yeah.
Come on.
Wow, you really curated this mall. Yes, with the,
exactly.
What vintage is that Orange Julius you're serving?
Do they have a Wicks and Sticks?
A Wicks and Sticks?
How about a Things Remembered?
Things, oh, God.
You play, we had your boys, Harold and Kumar, in here yesterday. Cal and John stopped by yesterday. And they're the best, obviously.
They're so cool.
But they had very nice things to say about you. Now, you are a dirty Santa Claus, is that right, in Harold and Kumar?
I think I'm more of a friendly Santa Claus that sells a lot of weed out of a very sketchy trunk. So I'm trying to keep, I'm not dirty in that I'm not sexual, but God, they go, I saw the movie this week, and man, they're like, hey, you know, you like Harold and Kumar because it's dirty and racist, and all right, here we go.
It's Kumar Concentrate.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. There's some stuff in that movie that, like, even people that were in the movie, we were all sitting around each other. We were all looking at each other like, wow, they really did that. Okay.
Yeah. Well, that's what John Cho was saying to us yesterday. He's like, you understand how high the baby gets in the movie? Oh. I mean, that just tells you what's going on.
And they don't stop. Like, they do the baby has some secondhand smoke joke. Right. And then they just dump every drug in the universe into this baby. They do not stop. And at the end, it's not like, at the end, the baby is still high. Out of its mind, high. They don't pull back from that. So
that's just good fun, though.
Nice high, baby. Yeah. Yeah.
All right, Patton Oswalt is here. We have to take a brief break here on the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, obviously the Harold and Kumar movie opens up today. You won't see young adult, the Charlize Theron movie, until December 9th. But we should mention that Patton's best-selling book, Zombie Spaceland Wasteland, is coming out next week in paperback, right?
Yeah, next Tuesday.
For cheap bastards who didn't think enough of you to spend $20, now you can get it for $10.
I just read it at Barnes & Noble. I just sat down and read the whole thing and put it back on
Ralph,
the shelf.
Really?
Very entertaining.
The mic's
Ralph
still
went
on.
Ralph went in 15 minutes a night for 2 weeks and read the whole book.
Ralph, the Garmin Book Club? I've heard about that.
Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat. Patton, you're sticking around for a while, right?
Oh, I want to do the Showbiz Beat.
All right. When we return on the Kevin and Bean Show. If you wake up every day and tune into the Kevin and Bean Show praying that today is the day it's going to be funny, it might be, because Patton Oswalt is here in studio with us.
Yeah.
Talk to the pressure, Patton.
Oh, thanks,
Talk to the hilarious Joshua Jackson after the top of the hour about Fringe. Ralph's got the movie beat next hour, too. Right now, though, time for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Octomom Nadia Sulman's back in the news. She was on Dr. Drew's Life Changers show this last Wednesday. Drew is trying to do right by her and gave her not only a year's free cleaning services for her home where she has her 14 children, but a tuition for a six-month course so that she can become a certified personal trainer so that she can have a career to move on with her life.
Rob Delaney, who you had on earlier, tweeted a few days ago, I'd rather have Dr. J perform surgery on my penis than get life advice from Dr. Drew.
I'm just looking forward to the celebrity boxing match between Nadia Sulman and Amy Fisher. They're going to be squaring off.
It wasn't Dr. Drew, it was Dr. Phil. What show did she go on?
Dr. Drew. What? She went on Life Changers.
Yeah,
Dr. Drew.
Sorry about that. He was saying Dr. Phil.
He was not besmirching our good Dr. Drew. Then.
No, he wasn't. And for some reason, and I love Dr. Drew, but that sounds like a very Dr. Phil kind of thing to do.
It does.
I don't know why he did that.
Drew's moving into Phil territory. Oh, Drew, this new show.
Don't do that, man.
Yeah.
And by the way, and I know we want to talk about the boxing thing, but I have to get this off my chest. What about all the people out there who have kids in reasonable numbers who aren't going to somebody else for help? What about those people who are doing the respectable right thing and not reaching out their hands?
Okay.
All right.
Nadia will be squaring off with Amy Fisher in celebrity boxing later on this month.
What?
Other names on the card? Talik Salahi, formerly one of the White House crashers, until his wife left him for that guy from Journey. He'll be fighting Cato Kaelin. And Joey Buttafuoco will be squaring off against Amy Fisher's current husband. So, 1995 pay-per-view, if you want to check that out. Look at your local cable provider.
How is Patton not doing the play-by-play for that?
That would be the best.
Yeah, well, it's weird because I'm doing another show called America is Over. So, I couldn't. There was a conflict. Yeah, total conflict.
It's hard to get Brett Ratner to talk about himself or his projects, but he is overcoming his shyness and is now
Brett Ratner.
He's finally doing the publicity tour for Tower Heist, the new movie he's got up. Starring his boyhood hero, Eddie Murphy, and Ben Stiller. He was on a show called Attack of the Show on G4, addressing the fact that Olivia Munn, who used to work on that show, wrote in her memoirs. Can't believe Olivia Munn's got memoirs, by the way.
Yeah, no kidding.
It's called Suck It, Wonder Woman, The Misadventures of a Hollywood Geek. She tells the tale of a Hollywood director that she spent some time with and called him a grown man in an oversized shirt holding his undersized manhood in his hands, glistening with shrimp fat. Claiming that this director used to like to pleasure himself using a shrimp. There had been some rumors that it was Brett Ratner. He addressed that on the show and said, yes, he did have sex with Olivia Munn, but the shrimp thing was made up. Why would she be so angry? He said, well, she was hanging around on the set of my After the Sunset movie. I banged her a few times, but I forgot her. She came into audition for a TV show for me, and I forgot her, so she got pissed off. So, there you go.
Wow.
That's fairly juicy stuff right there.
Yeah.
Too juicy, if you ask me.
I don't think I would forget Olivia Munn if I had sex with her, but then I'm not at, Brett Ratner's level. But
I just love getting to work with creative people.
More movie news. Forbes has released this list, which I think is kind of shady, but I guess this is how you have to determine who's a star in Hollywood and who isn't. They have a list of how much money an actor is paid versus how much return the studios get on the box office of their films. So for every dollar that is paid an actor, they look at how much money their movies make and see whether they're a good bet or not to cast. For example, Patton Oswalt, I'm sure your ratio would be very high.
Oh, yes. Because
you probably got paid very little for Ratatouille, and then that made an enormous amount of money. So you're a good bet.
I was given 100 packs of ramen noodles for that film. They made $700 million,
roughly.
Yeah.
Here's the top five on the list. Denzel Washington, apparently, Huh. He only makes the studio $4.25 for every dollar they pay him.
His movies are hits, but he's very expensive to
hire,
right?
That's the point, is the ratio. Reese Witherspoon is $3.55 for every dollar they pay her. That's what the return is on her.
These are some creepy metrics. Like, this is just Moneyball territory.
Yeah.
Will Ferrell, $3.50 for every dollar they pay him. Eddie Murphy, $2.70 for every movie that he gets paid for.
Well, who hemorrhages money? Who do you...
Number one, Drew Barrymore. The studios only get a 40-cent return on every dollar they pay her.
I thought her movies did really well.
Well, apparently not.
But isn't she also like a producer, and she's a total mogul?
Yeah, she brought us the magic of the Charlie's Angels reboot, Patton.
Yes.
That's true. She is a
mogul.
Yeah. And lastly, more movie news. Another comic strip turned movie. Sony has announced they're working on Popeye the Sailor Man. Big budget, big screen version of Popeye. A 3D movie this time around, so it promises to be much better than the Robert Altman version, because it'll be in 3D.
I hope they let Lars von Trier direct that. That would be amazing.
Most depressed Popeye ever.
Olive oil kills herself.
Oh, jeez. I'm so depressed.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Doris Roberts from Everybody Loves Raymond. She's 81 years old today. Bean thinks she's not old enough.
Well, she's going to get hotter as she gets older. That's
Bean,
all I'm saying.
Bean likes them well-aged.
Women do not reach their sexual peak till they're 91.
That's
I don't know
true.
If you know that.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to be honest, I've never admitted this before. My fantasy is that I break them, so the more brittle they are, the better for me.
Come on.
God.
That is...
Why did it just go? I had a nice little
Bean, that's why.
Little joke, and then you were like, hang on. Give me the wheel, ditch.
He's busting pelvises. Kathy Griffin is 51 years old today. Ralph Macchio turns 50.
What?
Yeah. Karate Kid's 50 years old.
Oh, my God. Yeah. That actually hit me harder than when I found out that Nirvana's Nevermind was 20 years old. That's a bigger sign of my... mortality.
Although Ralph Macchio, in fairness, was 40 when he was playing Daniel in that movie.
Right.
So
that
it all
is true.
Out.
Yeah.
Survivor host Jeff Probst is 50 as well. Matthew McConaughey, he's 42 years old today.
Yeah.
All right.
Hey, mind if I take my shirt off?
Do you mind?
Well, 42.
Beef.
Hey,
dude, what's for dinner?
Hey, keep on living.
Sean Combs, P. Diddy, Puff Daddy, Do A Diddy. He is 42 years old today.
He's 42. 40 to titty.
He's 40 to titty.
40 to titty, yeah.
Today. Mm-hmm. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Oh, if you could hear the show that's going on during the songs with Patton Oswalt making song references from the 1920s. It's hilarious, you guys. Welcome in on the Kevin Abid Show on a Friday. Ralph's got the movie beat. Cousin Sal with a preview of the NFL weekend. Now, Patton, God bless you for coming in, albeit late, and sticking around. You know, we're getting ready to talk to Mr. Joshua Jackson here in a moment. Before we do, your Fringe experience, please.
This is so weird. I just downloaded season one on my iTunes because all my friends who I trust are like, dude, watch Fringe. And they had all missed it, too. Because it was just one of those shows that Fox never really got behind it, it feels like.
So the cool kids pressured you into starting to watch a show that you were willing to ignore.
Yeah, and then they actually showed me a really cool clip from episode 2 of season 1 where Joshua Jackson is trying to, there's some girl that's going into a coma from too much anesthesia, and the guy who plays his dad, what's that actor's
John
name?
Noble.
John Noble is eating popcorn on the phone, talking him through how to keep this girl alive, and is being so casual in this insanely intense situation that kind of sold me. Like, that scene was kind of amazing.
John Noble's an amazing actor, and the character is wonderful. I've been on board since day one. I've seen every episode, and Anna Torv, who plays Liv on the show, also amazing, and Joshua Jackson finally is back this season. He was gone for a little bit, but now he returns. He returned to the end of last episode, and now he's back in full force tonight on Fringe.
New episode at 9 o'clock on the Fox Network. Joshua Jackson, always great to have you on the Kevin Abid Show, my friend. Thanks for coming back on. How are you?
Thanks, fellas. I'm pretty good. How you doing?
So don't be intimidated by the great Patton Oswalt, who is in studio with us today.
I know. It's very intimidating. I'm going to have to mind my P's and Q's this morning.
Yes, you will, sir.
Or your right, J's and J's. To see what I did? Because...
Never mind. Sorry.
Ralph, I know you walk around every day on the show muttering under your breath about Fringe. Now's your chance. Go for it.
It's just it's been so good this season, Josh, but you have been missed. Did you miss working on the show?
On the show, yes, but do you ever really miss work?
No, I guess not. It's kind of nice to have a little paid vacation.
Yeah, exactly. The extra 6 weeks were nice, but also, I mean, beyond my getting a little bit of extra time in the summer, it was kind of necessary for the show to leave me out after the cliffhanger that we had last year, so we could see, you know, so we could see what the world became without Peter. I am always impressed by, well, the balls, frankly, that our writers have to really go after these concepts and not just make it easy on anybody.
I'll tell you, as I was watching this season, it was a little disturbing to me how little bit everything is off with the absence of Peter Bishop. None of the relationships are quite the same. John Noble's character, Walter, of course, certainly isn't the same without his son being back. But your character, Peter, when he returns, he has the memories of what went on before, right?
Well, yeah, he's sort of in this horrible Cassandra place because he, you know, everybody else's life has changed, some for the better, some not. I think Walter's pretty broken up. It seems like Olivia is actually in a better place. Astrid is sort of even and Broyles is sort of even, but Peter comes back sort of expecting the world that he knows, and everything looks and sounds the same, but it's not the same.
Yeah. Friday nights, a lot of people, you know, Fringe fans said, oh, Fox, please, when they made the move to Friday nights, they're like, come on, don't do it. But your fans have rallied. I mean, it seems like they are super active in terms of, you know, getting the word out and making sure to watch and keep the thing alive. I mean, they are keeping, they're propping you up, right?
Yeah, they're not propping us up. They're keeping us on the air. I mean, last year when we made that move to Friday, I think, there was a large contingent of people who just said, well, the writing's on the wall and it's all over. And, you know, our small but vocal and completely rabid and sometimes a little insane fan base just let Fox know that they were not going to let the show get canceled. And, you know, it's a very cool feeling to be on a show that people take seriously, that are passionate about. I mean, the Comic-Con experience for us every year is such a bizarre, awesome experience. It's hard to describe.
Yeah, have you had any really intense fan interactions or very unhinged fan moments at these cons?
I don't know if you guys have been down to Comic-Con, but there's nothing less than intense down there.
Yes. Oh, yeah, that's true. No, there aren't any calm interactions with fans,
exactly.
Right?
Nobody is there kind of as a fan. You know what I mean? Just in the neighborhood. Yeah, so, and you have to really, 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 like, you have to study. There's homework involved because when you're doing those panel discussions, somebody's going to be like, okay, at minute 42 of episode 9, when you raise your right eyebrow, and you usually raise your left, what is going through your head?
I noticed when Peter opened that safe, he used the combination, he turned the dial to the right twice, and it wouldn't open that way. What's the explanation?
Exactly. So clearly you were in a third universe. The only yes, correct. I'm glad you noticed that. You know, that's really why I do things like that, is for moments like this.
But Joshua, you know, with the sci-fi and fantasy fans, you will have fans for life. They will never abandon you.
Good, I can get over all my daddy issues.
Worst case scenario, should everything go bad in the career, years from now, you'll still be able to sign autographs and pose for pictures forever.
Oh, yeah.
Can't wait to be that guy.
This is the voice of actor Joshua Jackson. We're talking about the return of Fringe, which happens tonight at 9. You were off for a minute because of baseball, right? So we haven't missed any episodes. It just hasn't been on for a couple of weeks, right, Josh?
Yeah, we haven't missed any episodes. It's the way Fox works. So it was sort of accidental, then Game 6 got rained out and Game 7 happened. But we're back and we're going to run into, I think we have either 3 or 4 now straight that takes us into what's an unfortunately long winter hiatus. But barring, I don't know, alien invasion, we should be on for at least the next couple of weeks.
Nice.
Well, we always
mention...
alien
invasion happens, that's kind of a win-win, right?
Exactly, because your show will be even more relevant.
We always mention whenever we have you on or have Anna on or are talking about the show, I mean, you can't give it up enough for the writers. I'm sure you wait with such anticipation to see what's next for you and your character when the script arrives every week. And I mean, it's such a high-wire act to pull this off. And that's what's been so satisfying season after season is you guys are able to do it.
Well, I mean, I think the same sort of parlor game that gets played by the fans gets played by the actors and, frankly, the whole crew on set every week when the scripts are coming out. Because we sort of, you know, everybody takes their bets on where they think they're going, and then we're about 98% wrong every week.
Right.
I'm about to go to work this morning. This has been the fun of this year, actually, because, like you said, I've been gone for the first 4 episodes, but I'm back in it now. I'm about to go do a scene with John at the beginning of this episode that we're shooting right now, and that Peter and Walter thing that we had spent so much time building up over the course of the last 3 years was completely undone now and totally. So now we get to go to work and we're sort of trying to figure out how to make the new relationship work. So that has kept the show fresh, I hope, for the audience, but certainly for the actors and everybody on it, because, you know, everything's new all the time. Stay on your toes. That's the motto of our show.
Well, you heard that Patton is just getting ready to start from the beginning of the series. He's going to need your home phone number so he can call you personally with any questions as he's watching, okay?
Okay, let me give that to you right now.
Fringe airs tonight at 9 on Fox. Don't miss it. Joshua, always great to have you on the Kevin Amin Show, man. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me back.
Hey, ahead of the movie beat here, I have an email from a listener named Brandon for Patton Oswalt.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Ask Patton about the Heart She Holler that's going to be on Adult Swim this weekend. I am curious, what the hell is up with that show?
I've seen the trailer. That's effed up.
We just did, we screened all six episodes last night at the Silent Movie Theater, and even that, imagine like the Cine Family, which is the former Silent Movie Theater, the kind of film freaks they get, and even they were confused and disturbed.
That looks dark.
They were so weirded out by what... Yeah, it is basically... It's the guys that did Wonder Chosen, which, if you've ever saw that on MTV2, is... And it's them doing a live-action... So it's like... It is hee-haw if, like, Abel Ferrara did it, or what I call the show is, imagine the worst Brooklyn Williamsburg hipster douche nozzle, like a guy you just want to punch, and what they think the South is. Actually, imagine them, give them PCP, and then tell them to describe what they think the Deep South is, and that's what this show is.
So if you're looking to be confused and disturbed, Sunday night on Adult Swim is when the show's going to air.
Well, it'll air Sunday night at 12:30, and then it airs every... It's a little mini-series. It's every night, Sunday through Friday, all six episodes, as an ongoing miniseries.
So night after night, you get to watch
it.
That's awesome. Awesome.
And you can see this huge dynastic arc done. It's, again, the writing on the show is so incredible and genuinely disturbing.
Good times. Looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Patton Oswalt is here partly because he's in another movie that opens up today called A Very Harold and Kumar Christmas. One of the films will be reviewed right now by our own Ralph Garman.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
I'm sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
Once again, we review the week's movies without having seen any of them. This Friday is three new films in the Cineplexes this weekend. One in limited release called The Son of No One, starring Channing Tatum as a young cop who asked to work in the precinct in the working-class neighborhood where he grew up. And an old secret in that neighborhood threatens to destroy his life and his family. Also starring in the film, Ray Liotta and Al Pacino.
Dude!
Along with Juliette Binoche.
Wow.
Quite a cast.
This thing has... It's got Al Pacino.
Yes.
And Ray Liotta.
Yes.
And Juliette Binoche!
That's right, yes. She's got a great ass! Channing Tatum... In this scene, plays the young cop. He has a meeting with his captain, played by Ray Liotta, and you start to get a sense things are not going well.
Who's ever writing these letters seems to be interested in everyone except the actual killers. This next article comes out, naming names. Your life's destroyed. Yours and your family's obliterated. You understand what I'm saying? This would be the place for that thing that you're thinking there. With your gun, you ain't wrong in it. You're just projecting it on the wrong people.
Okay, that doesn't help me at all. I get nothing from that.
Very confused.
But I like Ray Liotta, and I like Al Pacino.
Yeah.
And I like Channing Tatum.
Those guys are fun to watch.
I like cop movies.
Yeah.
So it's worth a look. If you don't want to see that, you can go see Tower Heist. This is the new film from Brett Ratner, the man who brought you Rush Hour and Rush Hour 2. And he's going to bring you the Oscars. He's going to produce the Oscars this year.
Oh, that's right.
With Eddie Murphy as host. And coincidentally, Eddie Murphy happens to be the star of Tower Heist.
What are the chances of that?
Along with Ben Stiller and Casey Affleck and Matthew Broderick and Alan Alda. This originally, the concept was Eddie Murphy wanted to make an all-black Ocean's 11. Well, there's only one black dude left in it, and that's Eddie Murphy. Everyone else is white.
He wanted to make Ocean's 11?
Yes, he did.
Oh, wow.
A group of hardworking guys have to take on a wealthy businessman played by Alan Alda. They all got burned in his Ponzi scheme, so they conspire to steal $20 million from his penthouse apartment in the tower that he owns, hence the Tower in Tower heist. Here's where Eddie Murphy talks about his special breed of crime.
You saying we can't open it?
I'm saying I never worked on a safe like this before. I usually break into strong boxes. You never said it was a real safe made out of steel.
Going after $20 million, where do you think it'd be, wood?
What kind of thief can't open a safe?
Well, generally, I rob balconies.
Balconies? Like a cat burglar?
That way I never get charged with breaking an entry. And I never steal nothing over $1,000, because in New York, that is a felony.
What do you get, like potted plants?
No, bitch, I don't be stealing no potted plants. I steal mostly satellite dishes.
He sounds like a guy doing an impression of Eddie Murphy.
Yeah, this is
doesn't
this
he?
This is Eddie Murphy returning to his old form from 48 Hours and films like that.
So, Patton, you're a film star. What's your take on this?
I thought Eddie Murphy was brilliant when he, you know, early on. So if he's going to do what he was doing then, I'm excited for it. I just wonder if it was a weird the first few days filming when he was like, wait a minute, I'm not. There's no latex on me. I'm not. I shouldn't be on camera. Like, was that weird?
Why not playing Ben Stiller too? I should be playing Ben Stiller.
Yeah, we'll wait and see on this one. Ben Stiller apparently stretches in this film, plays a very nervous Jewish guy. So we got that going for us.
It's new.
And lastly, a very Harold and Kumar 3D Christmas.
Yeah.
Cal Penn, John Cho, Neil Patrick Harris, and our very own Patton Oswalt.
Yeah, for
in this
20
film.
Seconds. Why do they put my name on the... And
because
I'm in
you a, sell tickets, mister. Yeah. Because you put asses in seats. Can you blame them?
Get that Oswalt bump.
That's right. It's the return of Harold and Kumar 6 years after Guantanamo Bay, this time in 3D, and they have to save Christmas. I don't know, Santa Claus is sick or something, and they have to deliver the toys. I'm not quite sure of the premise, but...
I saw it, and I'm confused.
A baby gets very stoned.
Oh,
that's
boy.
All we need to know.
Wow.
Here's a scene from the film where Neil Patrick Harris, who returns as well, grants Harold, played by John Cho, his Christmas wish.
What can I do for you, my burglars of turd?
I hope you're still alive.
What are you talking about?
We saw you get shot, remember?
You have to be more specific.
In that whorehouse?
In Texas.
You branded a prostitute.
Remember? Oh, yeah. The reason we're here is I was wondering if... I can get you one of those Christmas trees from set? Sure, no problem.
How'd you know that?
I can read your mind. Thanks, Neil.
Yeah, thanks, Neil.
Yeah, no problem. Hey, Merry Christmas, guys. We'll see you in the fourth one.
See you in the fourth one.
Neil Patrick Harris is pretty amazing in this movie. He's very... Very really funny and then really sleazy and kind of frightening.
Apparently in this version, Neil Patrick Harris is a straight person pretending to be a gay guy in order to get more tail. Right?
He is an aggressively straight heterosexual.
That's very funny.
Pretending to be, his scene is pretty amazing.
My pick this weekend is a very Harold and Kumar 3D Christmas because Patton is sitting next to me.
You have chosen wisely.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman's Movie Beat.
Tell me if I'm lying, Ralph.
You're lying.
I haven't said anything yet.
Oh, I'm sorry.
The Beer Mug red carpet interviews from Harold and Kumar that we'll play for you after the top of the hour may be the greatest thing you've heard on the Kevin and Bean Show all year long.
Certainly the funniest thing that's ever been on this show, in my opinion.
Yeah. So you gotta hear what Beer Mug did with the stars on the red carpet the other night. That's on the way. Ralph's got the showbiz beat in minutes, too. First, though, it is Friday here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Well, it's Friday everywhere. But Friday on the Kevin and Bean Show means we talk to Jimmy's real-life cousin, Sal, who's here to talk NFL football this weekend. How are you, Sal?
What's happening, fellas?
Sal. Let me start by saying I loved so much your Halloween bit where you made all the little kids that came to your front door cry on Kimmel's show this week, man. How do you feel as a grown man making those 8-year-olds cry when you're done with filming that segment every year?
I feel pretty good, I have to say. No, it's weird. No, I know. I go through it with the lawyers, and every year I get yelled at. I come back from the bit, and the deal is that they have to be 10 years old or older, I guess, for me to make them cry.
Right.
And we never, ever adhere to that rule, and I imagine there's thousands of hours of therapy I'll be responsible for. But
well, it was brilliant, as always, and we put that video up at the Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup for folks who did not see it. You can see it on the website. Your friend Ralph Garman is here. He's got he has a word with you he needs to have.
Well, before we take a look at this week's pick, Sal, can we talk about last week a little bit?
No, I want to put that behind me.
Yeah, I bet you do.
What is it? What happened?
I'm just saying, you gave us three games.
Yeah.
Well, here's a little piece of tape from last week. I don't remember this conversation we had. Sal, I got to tell you, you've been doing great until this week. I look at your picks, and I think these are all losers.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait, you disagree with all three?
All three.
Yeah, Sal?
That's it? We're back live?
Yeah, we're back live now.
Yeah, I know.
That was not a good week for you.
It was a terrible week. I was 0-3 with my best bets, as you know. My Cowboys got demolished, and I think I was accused of impregnating Justin Bieber or something like
yes, that.
That
was you.
It got worse and worse. But I don't want to hear this, what have you done for me lately, crap. I've done nothing but winners since week one before last week.
I know. I'm just saying.
All right.
You know, I don't want you to, you know, start slipping. That's all.
No, I'm going to bounce back big.
All right, what do you got this week for us?
Well, here's the thing. If you didn't like my picks last week, you're going to hate them this week. I don't even like my picks this week. I get sick looking at them. I think I've taken the inferior team in all three games, in some cases far inferior. And let's start with the first inferior team, the Jets. They've been so erratic this year. They haven't won a road game. They're coming off a bye week against the Bills, who've been playing out of their minds.
Yeah.
And they're getting 2 points against the Bills in Buffalo. I'm betting on Rex Ryan. I like the Jets coach. The Jets own the Bills. They've won 3 straight in Buffalo, 5 out of the last 6. And here's something people don't know. The Bills haven't played in Buffalo in a month. They had road games. They had a bye. And then they went to Toronto. They played their annual game in Toronto. There's a lot of pressure coming back. I think things settle down a little for the Jets. They're the better team. They're running the ball better. They pull this one out, 26-21. Take the 2 points in the Jets.
Although Sanchez has been struggling, Sal, and Fitzpatrick has been on fire.
Yes, I know. But Fitzpatrick has like a 30 quarterback rating against the Jets. And like I said, I'm not counting on Sanchez. They've been running the ball really well, and I think they pull it out.
All right.
All right. We're talking to Cousin Sal about the NFL picks for this weekend. You've got Redskins over the 49ers with 3.5. These are two teams that do seem to be having very different seasons.
Yes, and help me out with this line, both of you guys. San Francisco by 3.5. The 49ers are steamrolling their opponents. They can do no wrong. The Redskins were shut out by the Bills last week. They can't get anything going.
Right.
Being your most disease-infested goats could probably do a better job running the ball against them. Any point. But the spread is only 3.5. How is this only 3.5? This is one of the fishiest lines I've ever seen. I'm not even kidding. When something smells that fishy, though, I take an even bigger bite. I'm chewing on a Redskins upset this week, guys.
Oh, Sal.
Yes, I'm telling you. And usually I could find a stupid stat to throw at you favoring the team I'm about to pick, but I can't even do it other than the 49ers are flying west to east playing an early game. I'm basically basing this pick on daylight savings. 16-14, Redskins win. Take the points.
What are the Redskins doing for quarterback this week, and what is their long-term plan, or don't they know?
It's going to be John Beck again, who, you know, he was making some progress, and then he was just awful last week. There was 2 interceptions. I think you have a lot of egomaniacs running that team. You have Snyder's the owner. You have Shanahan, and they make outlandish decisions just to be right, and it hasn't paid off. But this week, well, now that I've picked them, it will.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
I bet they thought it couldn't get any worse than Donovan McNabb as quarterback, and now they're looking back at those weeks as the glory times.
Yes, absolutely.
They'd be better off just starting Beck instead of John Beck, I think, would do a better job for them.
The singer?
Yes, the singer Beck.
And then we talked to the lone undefeated team in the NFL, the Green Bay Packers. What's going on with them this weekend?
Yeah, well, I know what you guys are thinking. I'm taking the Chargers +6 over the Packers. And the Packers have been untouchable. They're rested. They're coming off a bye. On the other hand, the Chargers are messed. They're playing on a short week. Phillip Rivers can't even take a snap. He acts like the ball's been diagnosed with syphilis the way he's so willing to turn it over. But I think they right the ship this week. It's a bold prediction. Chargers, though, ranked 4th in the league against the pass, and I think they make Aaron Rodgers run for his life a little. And let's not forget, the Packers struggled a little against the Vikings before their bye. San Diego finds a way to get it done. Classic game, though, I think. 27-24, Chargers over the Packers.
Wow, you're taking some bold picks this week.
That's astonishing. What is the actual official Las Vegas line on that game, Sal?
It's 6. The Chargers are getting 6 points.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right, well, you're going to redeem yourself after last weekend if our listeners go to Las Vegas and make some money off of that pick. So you got the Redskins over the 49ers, you've got the Jets over the Bills, and you got the Chargers over the Packers with the points. And, of course, you can read all of Cousin Sal's intense analysis of the NFL at grantland.com, and you can follow him on Twitter at Cousin Sal. Have a fantastic weekend, my friend. Thanks for coming on.
Before I get off, I'd like to make a gentleman's wager with you. My Cowboys are playing your Seahawks this week.
And I'm betting on the Cowboys.
Yeah, well, no, listen now. You might like this. The odds are heavily in Dallas's favor, but how about if the Cowboys win, I get to come in the studio and give you a wedgie. If the Seahawks win, you chop my head off with a machete.
I think I have no possibility to win this bet, so I'm going to have to pass on it. Nice effort, though.
All right, all right.
Where were you last week with when we were playing my Eagles? Where was that bet then?
I told you I hated that game.
Thanks, Sal. Have a good one, dude.
Take 30 then ensues.
There's no question there.
Nope. What?
Beer Mug on the red carpet of the new Harold and Kumar Christmas movie coming up right after the top of the hour. I promise you, you get every cent of the money refunded to you that you spent to listen to this show today if you are not 100% satisfied with the content of those interviews. I think that's a good offer, right?
Absolutely.
It's coming right up on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Friday. What's going on?
Well, it's that time of year. Thanksgiving's right around the corner. And TV now promises a special that I think will become an annual tradition for those of us who gather around the table with our loved ones partaking of turkey and stuffing. ABC, on November the 24th, will air a very Gaga Thanksgiving.
Yes, when I think of Thanksgiving, I immediately think of Gaga.
Me too. All will be carved. Lady Gaga is getting her own holiday TV special. She will do an interview with Katie Couric as they walk around her alma mater, Sacred Heart Catholic School in New York City. She'll perform eight songs for our entertainment, including her duet with Tony Bennett, The Lady's a Tramp. And she will have a celebrity chef cooking segment with fried turkey and waffles. So, make a point, November the 24th, to tune in to a very Gaga Thanksgiving.
This holiday season, prepare to have the stuffing scared out of you.
Yeah.
Look, I think Gaga's talented. I don't have any problem with her. And I understand why she wore the crazy outfits to get on the map. I'm bored with that now. I'm bored with whatever the next thing she is going to wear already.
This is the new Gaga. This is a very special Gaga.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
She'll be dressed as a pilgrim at some point, right? I hope.
Absolutely. And I believe she will get stuffed. So there's a theme when it comes to turkeys and whatnot.
Must be Thanksgiving in here because somebody wants some stuffing.
Justin Bieber claims he's never even met Mariah Yeager, let alone had sex with her backstage at one of his concerts. She, however, is claiming not only did they have sex, but his seed took hold of her. And now there's a baby, and it's Justin's.
What's a baby?
Although people have been saying, wait a minute, that would make him 16 at the time if this happened in 2010. Isn't that statutory rape?
I thought so.
Well, the Los Angeles Police Commissioner, a commander, rather, has come forward and said, well, yes, there's an investigation going on and a possible arrest, because if he was 16 and she was 19 at the time, that would be statutory rape, although because there's just 3 years difference between the two of them, it would be a misdemeanor. However, it still carries with it a penalty of 1 year in jail, potentially. Mm. So,
Look, I know people sue celebrities for lots of reasons because, you know, they want to get some money out of it or whatever, or celebrity. But this doesn't pass the smell test at all, by the way. She waits till the baby is 3 months old, first of all, to make the claim. Second of all, it's just weird that it's happening the week his album is released, you know? It's just, there's a lot of weird stuff. And it's his first time. Who has sex for the first time with a bunch of people around backstage in a concert venue?
Well, she claims he told her it was his first time, but now she's saying she thinks it's because he just didn't want to use protection.
Oh, I see.
Because that was his story. It's like, I don't want to use protection. It's my first time. I want to be able to feel every sensation.
Right.
That old line.
For two seconds.
We've all fought for that, huh? You with me, ladies?
And she at 19 thought no protection meant no baby somehow?
Yeah, sure. Well, really, would you think Bieber's sperm would have the strength to actually impregnate anyone? I wouldn't. Yeah, he's pretty much a eunuch.
Yeah. And it's Canadian, too, and they're slow.
That's right. Unless they're on skates. They don't really move that fast. So we got that going for us.
Hey, can see the egg in the distance. They just can't quite swim that far to catch it.
Right. Another day, another movie project for Jennifer Lopez. She is going to produce a film based on the hit TV series Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego? All right, listen, Jennifer Lopez, I get it. You're Hispanic, okay? Does everything have to be Hispanic now that you do? Do we really need a Carmen Sandiego movie? For God's sakes.
I don't even know what that is. It's a kid's
You don't know what Carmen Sandiego?
I know Where in the World is Matt Lauer.
Where in the world is Carmen Sandiego?
Is it a TV show or a book? It's a TV show.
That was a computer game.
Yeah, it was a computer game.
It's about Carmen, who's the world's greatest detective, who's also accused of being the world's greatest thief, traveling around the world, and you learn a lot about the world you live in as you follow Carmen's adventures.
And that's a movie. That's going to be a movie?
Yes.
That needs to somehow be a movie?
Absolutely, and I, for one, can't wait.
That is a terrible idea. One of your worst.
Another bad idea for a movie. Sony Pictures has announced Popeye the Sailor Man. Be up there on the big screen. Kids, gather around. Uncle Ralph has a story to tell you. There used to be a very popular cartoon character called Popeye, and he would eat spinach, and he would get very strong, and he would battle Bluto or Brutus, depending on what they were naming his villain that particular episode. And he had a girlfriend named Olive Oil, and he had a little adopted baby called Sweet Pea, and he was very popular in the 1930s. But now no one knows who Popeye is, and Sony Pictures is still going to make a 3D movie based on that character.
Nobody even knew who he was in the 80s the last time they made a movie, and that flopped. What's different now?
Robin Williams played him in the Robert Altman version. Although it was inspired casting, Olive Oil was played by...
Shelley Duvall.
Shelley Duvall, yes. And she is Olive Oil in real life. She weighs about 8 pounds, and she's very thin and very scary looking. So that was good stuff. But it was a musical on top of it.
So maybe Demi Moore can play Olive Oil this time around.
That's a good idea. She's also excellent casting. Today's celebrity birthdays: Doris Roberts from Everybody Loves Raymond is 81 years old today. Kathy Griffin turns 51. Ralph Macchio and Jeff Probst of Survivor are both 50. And Matthew McConaughey and Sean P. Diddy Puff Daddy Combs.
That
is, they're both 42 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Harold writes in, "Dear Kevin and Bean, wow, I've been tuning into the show consistently for the better part of 17 years.
Wow.
Thank you for that, Harold. Who would have thought that a set of red carpet interviews for a movie that I have no intention of seeing would have made every Snooki interview that I've had to sit through worthwhile? Today, it paid off. Those Harold and Kumar interviews with Beer Mug were proof to me that he is the clear heir to James Lipton, Charlie Rose, and Dick Cavett. Simply amazing," says Harold. How about that? I will not soon forget Beer Mug on the red carpet. Apparently, he was very proud of his appearance as well.
All in all, I think I made one mistake, but I think it went well. Beer Mug out.
Beer
Just
Mug out.
One
indeed.
Mistake. That mistake, showing up. The only mistake he made. Other than that, he was flawless.
All right. It is a Friday here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Minutes away from singing that song we'd love to get into the weekend. But we have time for one more look at the showbiz beat. Here's Ralph Garman.
Let me ask you a question. I'm Jewish.
Man, never laughed so hard on this show ever. Jessica Simpson is postponing her wedding until after the baby is born, because she doesn't want to be fatter in her wedding dress.
Mm-hmm.
So that's sad news. I was looking forward to her walking down the aisle with a giant baby belly.
Yeah.
Like the hillbilly that she is. But sadly, we're going to have to wait for the big wedding now.
We are certainly well past it mattering when and if people get married that are having babies.
Yeah.
Used to be the rush was on to get married as quickly as possible once you got pregnant. But now you may never. Doesn't matter, I guess.
Have we heard? Is this going to be a TV special? I hope. Jessica Simpson's wedding. Do we get to watch that in all its glory too? Because I still think televised weddings can work. I'm not been turned sour by the Kardashian disaster. I still think true love can be featured on 2 hours on the E Channel.
Once Millionaire, what was that? What was that show? Who Wants to Marry a Millionaire? Once that wedding didn't work out. Once that lasted a week. I was Bird for the last time.
That's so funny. Snooki wants everyone to know she doesn't party 24/7. She said the Jersey Shore crew appears to do nothing but drink and have sex and fight, but that's not the case. She says we do lots of chilling out and having a good time, but those scenes never make the MTV show.
We've got Snooki.
Snooki also swears that she's not stupid, because she goes, "I studied to be a veterinary tech. I can do surgery, anesthesia, and draw blood." Yeah, on animals, they can't complain. Also, Jenny says that she is done with her former best friend, JWoww. They have had a falling out. In Touch magazine.
Wait, Snooki and JWoww are not friends anymore?
Nope.
That's what you're telling me? Oh, what am I going to do?
Falling out. In Touch magazine says Jenny is done with Snooki and her boyfriend Gianni fighting all the time, and Snooki doesn't think she needs JWoww in her friendship anymore. In fact, they were supposed to do a spinoff together, but now Snooki wants her own show with just her and her boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, give her whatever she wants, man. She's a talent. She can draw blood and do surgery on animals.
And write all those books, too.
That's right. And Lindsay Lohan is scheduled to turn herself in for her jail term next Wednesday. That's the date, despite a 30-day sentence. They're now saying she may actually only spend a few hours in prison, as opposed to the 6 days we heard previously. So,
jail.
Or not. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Sean P. Diddy Puff Daddy Swag Combs, who's 42 years old today. Matthew McConaughey, be like Coolidge for dead. He's 42 years old today. Jeff Probst, host of Survivor, which, again, I'm watching again this season. I know you guys don't watch, but it is a great show. I'm shocked every time I watch how still it could be entertaining after, I don't know, what, the 2020 versions of this?
Something like that. I mean, it's a rock-solid concept, and Mark Burnett has some of the best guys in the business running those shows. And Probst, I think, is one of the best hosts ever on a reality television show.
And they do an excellent job of filling out that cast every season, too. They really find interesting, entertaining people to watch. So I'm enjoying it. Ralph Macchio from The Karate Kid, of course, 50 years old today. People forget about my cousin Vinny, too. I know, Karate Kid was his big movie, but I thought he was great in that film as well. Kathy Griffin, 51 years old, and Doris Roberts, who played the mom on Everybody Loves Raymond, turns 81 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, before we hear that song, real quick, Ralph, you're going to be in Las Vegas this weekend. People can come see you if they're making the trip. You and the Kevin Smith are doing the podcast Saturday night.
Doing our live show, Hollywood Babylon. We're doing it at the Hard Rock Cafe on the Strip, not to be confused with the hotel and casino. But we'll be doing it Saturday night at 8 o'clock. Saturday night at 8 o'clock. If you happen to be in Vegas, we'd love to have you swing by.
And Lisa Bay, in under 4 minutes, can you tell me what your event is at Santa Anita tomorrow?
Santa Anita Food Truck Festival starts tomorrow morning. The gates will open at 10. First race is at noon. $5 gets you in. We're going to have 70 gourmet food trucks there and gastro pubs with 30 flavors of craft beers. I'll be there. DJ Omar, Lightning, come and hang out with us.
Very nice. And Monday on an all-new Kevin and Bean show, we have a couple of things very much worth tuning in for. Of course, we got the usual, including Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. Andrew Siciliano will be here to recap the NFL weekend for us. But listen to this. Christine, Miss Double December, is coming on by.
Man, is she attractive.
Bringing those on Monday. We'll talk about what her reign has been like since it's almost over. And also Monday, we will unveil details on how you ladies can be the next Miss Double December. You can wear the crown in 2012. And we announce those details on Monday. Plus, as if that's not enough, how about tickets to the red carpet world premiere with the stars of the new Twilight film, Breaking Dawn Part 1? How about that? It's all happening.
Awesome.
Monday.
Don't forget the joint, my friend.
Pump up the jam, Mug.
Pass it over me.
I don't think you've heard the news.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
My crotch really, really loves it.
Roll another one.
All I can think about is sausage.
Just like the other one.
Palm Springs, California.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Interesting to hear your process.
I need another hit.
Why? Because I got it. Why do I got it? Because I roll in it. Why do I roll in it? Because I got tires on my truck. What kind of tires? None of your business, but they big.
Roll, 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 roll another one.
Ha! Gay!
Just like the other.
That's a very rude question.
This one seems to be about to end.
What does that mean?
I don't have another sense.
Kabbalah is a wonderful religion that mixes the fun part of Judaism with magic.
I'm not Jesus, but I drink a little.
Let's pass it around.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right.
That's just good sense right there.
Just pass it on down. Pass it on down.
If you're gonna say something, get it over with in a hurry because we're leaving.
You're quitting?
Let's just call it a strategic withdrawal.
We've got to put a stop to this so that I can get out of here. See, I'm not built to work 5 days a week.
We're finished! We're done! Game over, man! Game over!
So you can run and tell that, homeboy.
Thanks a lot for joining us, Mel. Take care.
Bye-bye. Asshole.
Everybody still awake? All right, big finish.
Okay, by my watch, it's margarita o'clock.